participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Stay tuned for your chance to win big money by naming the celebrity Burp. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Stop on the rock. Stop on the rock. Stop on the rock.
These two DAs agree on only one thing.
Stop on the rock. Can't stop the rock. You can't stop.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people.
Stop on the rock. Stop on the rock. Can't stop the rock.
Something.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
No F yourself, douchebag. F you, white trash.
Go, Bob, on my knob. Yes, Munch.
You're a goddamn genius!
Hi, Don and Mike.
He's the son of a bitch.
Welcome to our show.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Here they come. Oh, get them out of here. Please. Look at them. Hi, boys. They've got nice men. Out of here.
They're boys, Mike.
They're boys, yeah. They're boys that have been corrupted.
True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Nice boys, each and every one.
And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Happiness and all the ships at sea. Broadcasting live from the dedication and ribbon cutting of the John Pop Memorial parking lot with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hi, and thanks for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Tuesday. July 16th.
Right.
And here's the phone number from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. Washington, D.C. 202-432-1067. Again, today, he sodomized me. And he made me perform pleasures on him.
You know, it's not pleasant to watch, but I can't help myself. I come into that stairwell and I stare with morbid curiosity. And watch.
Today, you bring the guys who are out there doing lawn work. You bring them in and you ask them if they want to watch your show.
Hector said he wanted to come in.
I thought they enjoyed it.
They thought they were coming in for some cockfighting.
Well,
and boy, you know, it works more off.
Hey, but the parking lot's been awesome.
Every single day, he sodomizes me before the show, brutally rapes me.
That's right.
In an effort to egotistically get his name mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Is that so wrong? You could take him. You just like it.
Yeah, I keep telling him. I say, stop it. I get the message.
You
once
like
again,
it.
Once again, he's thrusts and thrusts and thrusts.
Oh, God.
Say it. All right, I'm your bitch. There he is.
Thank
Come
you.
On, squeal. Buzz Girdley.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
And hi, and welcome to the show. First order of business, I have the fresh off the presses copy of the Washington Post.
Yes.
And I'm going to the worthless Bob Levy column.
Bob Levy.
And just as a quick update, it's not going to be a wild rant or rave. Once again, he's not writing a column about his witty observations of near-death life in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah.
What he's doing is writing again another entire column about this goddamn send-a-kid-to-camp thing.
Yeah, that's how he makes his living. I mean, you know, why write a real column when he can do that every year? Same thing. I bet he keeps them on file. He just juggles the paragraphs.
And I just wanted to point out that as of now, I still have not heard anything back from Bob Levy with my challenge to him saying that...
matching your offer.
I would match however much money Bob Levy personally himself donates to his Send a Kid to Camp program.
Amen.
I will match it.
That's good.
Dollar for dollar. And this will be my final offer to Bob Levy of the Washington Post.
Very good.
And this offer is only good through the end of this week.
Okay.
I will double your donation.
Mm-hmm.
If you contact me, you don't even have to contact me on the radio.
He can contact you off the air.
Call the business line.
That's generous of him. I know you have, you know, when you say that, you got to do it.
Yeah,
you don't do this with a Washington Post columnist unless you're gonna mean it.
And my whole thought is that
I will maintain my offer. My offer does not change one penny on the dollar.
You'll give one penny to every dollar I give.
One penny for every dollar you give, and to be quite honest with you, I'm not even sure I can do that, but I will.
Because the whole point of this thing is we've mentioned millions and gazillions of times is that the guy is one of these self-serving pricks who writes a column in the newspaper, and rather than write something creative and take a couple of hours and write a column, even if it's something stupid about people eating on the subway, what he does is he devotes a quarter of a page to getting the people who read his column to give money to send needy kids to camp.
Right.
And my whole thought every year that I read this is, if you really cared, you would do this little thing, and you would just keep it under wraps, or you would just put a little box at the end of your column,
there you go.
A little two-inch box that says, incidentally, I'm doing the sending kids to camp thing.
You know, you're motivating me. Okay, here we go. Uh-oh. 2 cents on the dollar.
What? Mike?
Wow.
Let's keep it at one.
All right.
Let's keep it at one.
All right, because I did make a big purchase yesterday, and I want to tell you about that later, and I want to vent a little bit because I had a problem.
Did you get the deal you wanted?
No.
Okay.
No,
anyway,
not by a long shot.
Anyway,
there won't be any sponsor mentioned today.
Anyway, this guy, Bob Levy, it's my thought that if he really cared, he would just dig into his own pocket.
Exactly.
And shell out some money to send a kid to camp. So, Bob, even though I'm saying you're a pompous jerk-off, I am willing to match whatever you yourself pay, and I will double your donation, your personal donation. That is how sure I am that Bob Levy of the Washington Post does not donate one dime of his own money to this entire debacle.
Well, let's see what happens. And, you know, you've thrown down the gauntlet. And, you know, if he's going to remain aloof and not contact you, you know.
So, feels good. Why not?
Right.
Sure.
Come on, Bob.
So he writes the column, huh?
You're having a good time.
So you kids, you inner city kids, now you get some taffy pull.
There you go.
Now you get to get some s'mores.
And I get a good column out of it for 3 weeks in a row, eh?
You get to make some vomits.
There you go. And if he really cares about the kids, he'll call you.
Absolutely. Next item, we are getting dangerously close to the beginning of football.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited.
It's amazing
because
now that you talk about that in the middle of July. It's just amazing.
Mike,
it never always was like.
Training camps start in less than 10 days.
My God.
The first game is less than a month away.
You know, it's amazing. When it comes to sports, it's like the end of my year is the beginning of your year.
And the ending of your year is going to be much earlier this year because those bastards are going on strike.
And they don't, you know, this time around, man, they are losing everybody. Yeah, well, I end up coming back. I probably will. But it kills me because baseball is going to go on strike. And they're going to go on strike. They might even go on strike before the Red Sox collapse finishes.
Here's what I'm thinking. This year, continuing our isolationist, life that we're living now, within the confines of this company.
Yes, indeed.
I was thinking we could get a fantasy league going, but strictly a fantasy league for those on the show.
Uh-huh. That's a good idea.
Just the Don and Mike Fantasy League. Now,
you'd
Rob,
have to do a little hand-holding with a couple of the
apprentices. Now, hold on, just hear me out. Rob Spiewak now owns a computer.
Okay.
I got Rob a computer.
Right.
Rob is, in fact, computer literate.
But he's not football literate. He goes out and announces the games.
But he could do the job of the commissioner.
Rob, would you be willing to do that?
If you think I could, I mean, I think I could be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to really know football.
All you got to do is the job of commissioner.
All you got to do is download the stuff from CBS.sportsline.com, sure. and I mean, I know you could handle it.
I like that because that'll be every day we could just have our own, like, banter.
And if we only have six teams, there'll be more guys to choose from.
And who will dominate the league? Will have more knowledge than anybody else?
I don't know, Mike.
Yeah.
Hi there. Right. So here's what I'm thinking. You got me as a team, you as a team.
Right.
I know Lisa wants to get in.
Right. Joe will.
Joe Ardinger. I know that Bart wants to get in.
Right.
So we need one. Oh, you want in, Rob?
Yeah, Rob likes fantasy. Deal? Oh, wait, John Norman wants to get in.
What's the deal with Brian?
John, come on in. Do you want to get in on this?
You waived his fee to enter, right? So if I could do it just as a notion of just doing it, if I won it was gravy, then yeah, I'd love to do it. I might even pay to
get in.
What's
he saying?
I don't know.
He's saying
it was like $100 to get in, right?
Yeah.
But wasn't the deal with Broyhill, if he was commissioner, you waived his entry fee?
Listen to that.
You know what that is, ladies and gentlemen? You're such a self-proclaimed Jew hater.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Jew and Rob coming out right there. Excuse me, Achedi, but if I was to do the work, I would be able to waive my fee. You know, Rob,
what?
For being the guy who we play Sieg Heil every day.
That's just the queer duality of me.
And what is the percentage of you that is Jewish?
1/8. 12 and
1/8.
You want to waive the fee?
No, hold on. I'm getting an instant message, or as Mike would call it, instant mail from Broyhill.
Instant mail, right.
Instant
mail.
He has just written me, he always paid the fee.
Oh, did he? Then I shall pay the fee.
All right, so how many in the league do we have?
All right, now, hold on. Let's figure this out.
Wait, what do we have, two divisions?
Yeah, let me call the Ape House.
We're calling the great Ape House. Are you going to let him in on it?
Yeah.
Hey, Ape House?
Yeah.
Do you want in on our league?
Well, that's up to you guys.
No, I mean, it's up to you. We're asking you.
Well, no. If I'm in, that limits the opportunity for others to win.
Oh, shut up.
You are in, my friend.
All right. Charlie's in. All right, so Charlie's in. All right, so you got Don.
Wait, I'm not in.
Okay, Jerry.
I'm kind of clueless about statistics, so.
All right,
but Don. Mike from Philly says he'll get in.
Hold on a second. Don, Mike, Broyhill, Rob A., Lisa.
John Norman.
And John Norman, who is our production guy.
Yeah, he's right across. He's here every day.
Now, that's
the key. It's got to be somebody that we can bring in if there's a controversy. And since John's here, like, in the building every day, that means he can...
John, you want in?
Yes, I do.
Then I think we should keep it to six teams.
Okay.
Because you got 2 3-team divisions.
Very good.
It's very simple that the two top teams will play in the Super Bowl.
Excellent.
And with only...
So we have six. Who are the teams again? You, me, Rob,
Broyhill, Lisa, and John, our production guy.
Buzz, you don't want in, right?
No, I don't think so.
Although I was thinking, you know, it would be fun to have Buzz in there, just so you know you'd have a guaranteed win.
Buzz, would you be willing at all?
If we're going to include me, just tell me what you think I'll owe at the end of the season, I'll pay it.
How about this? Lisa, do you really want in? Or Rob, do you really want in?
I can go either way.
Well, no, tell me if you want in.
Yeah.
They both want in. They both really want in.
But man, you know,
well,
we just need one. We need one more person.
Oh, hold on! I got it. I forgot Bart.
Yeah, there you 2-4 leagues.
Bart wants in, and
there it is.
And Buzz will be in.
Right.
So there you go.
Right.
And I will leave it up to you, Rob, to get together with Broyhill to set up a draft.
All right.
And
Got names for the league yet? I'd love to come up with a name for the league.
We've got time?
The No Ball League.
No, this should be the All Ball League.
All Ball League.
The Testicle League.
The Testicle League.
The National Testicle League, because we got balls.
The NTL.
We got balls. So that's how we'll do it this year. It'll just be inclusive.
Good.
Just to those on the show.
Wonderful, because then we don't have to have that, you know, there were so many people that we had to involve, and it was tedious. It really was, because the junkies have, 500 different leagues that they're in?
Yeah, and they would bring their friends in, and we had the guys who own the building that they were in.
And, you know, that'll be a smart move.
So those will be the teams. It'll be Don, Mike, Broyhill, Bart, Rob A., Lisa, John, our production guy, and Buzz.
Hi.
Good. Okay, beautiful.
Excellent.
Now that...
Then I can watch all the games on my new big screen TV.
Tell me about this. Now, the plan was...
Christ.
The plan was... And I'm not going to give all the details of your plan, but I do know that...
You saw what I was doing at the end of the show.
You were interested in buying a big screen TV, and one of the things that appealed to Mike, which is one of the reasons that I've said you only have to match me one penny per dollar on the Bob Levy thing, is the... This is sad. No payments till 2004.
Yeah.
Mike said to me, and there's no payments till 2004.
Well, I ended up reallocating some funds to actually pay for the thing. And I went in and I walked out of the store at the end of my... I'm going to go backwards here. I walked out of the store at the end of my purchase, and I had a glass of cranberry juice, and my butt was bleeding.
Oh, so they pulled the buzz on you?
I have not purchased a large television, a significant television, you know, one that wasn't like one of your little tiny ones.
Now, Mike was telling me yesterday that he had... A plan.
I've got this room in the place that I rent. I've got this one room. The house that I rent has a lot of windows in it and a lot of skylights and a lot of places where you can't. And I should put up things to block the sunlight out, but that's too expensive right now.
Right.
So it was a question.
You could do what Elvis did.
You put foil?
Just put aluminum foil up on the windows.
You know what? It was a question of either buying the big screen and putting it down in this one room that doesn't have any windows, or like buying window treatments. And I figure I'm on my own now, and I'm gonna splurge on.
Or you could
just
go to
me.
And I don't want to slander them if they're a sponsor.
Yes.
But I will anyway. You could go to Next Day Blinds, or as I like calling them Next Century Blinds.
Next Century Blinds. Next Day Blinds is a company that says they'll get them next day.
That is a fallacy.
But they don't. They get them when they well, I don't know why they're called Next Day Blinds.
They should be called Before You Die Blinds.
Yeah, next year blinds.
Because you go in and you see the blinds. The
right.
Real simple things, you know, the plastic things that you want, right, in the color that you want.
And you say, okay, so I'll get them tomorrow? And they said, no. We'll get them when our man is out there available. And, of course, we have to order them from the factory, which means they're like any other company that would do, but they're called Next Day Blinds.
But they're not Next Day Blinds.
It's just the name of the company.
That's how they get you.
And I've used Next Day Blinds. They're a fine company. And
so have I, but
they do a very nice job, but it is not next day.
It's not next day. It's normally next month blinds.
This is another reason I've kind of hesitated getting some of the window treatments. I have towels now over my office window.
Oh, God damn.
But I know I'm going to get it done. It's just, it's one of these things. I don't want to do it, you know?
That's like my first apartment.
Yeah.
Really, you have towels on your windows?
Yeah. Ask me how I put them up.
With nails?
Thumbtacks.
Tape.
Staples. I did. Yeah. You know, not a lot of putty required when I move out.
That's true.
You know, just a little pinhole, a little too faint. But, you know, it just... So the deal is I got this one little room down there that is perfect for a tiny little home theater. And I said, you know what? I've been looking at all these TVs for so long, and finally this one came in at a really, really good price, and I'm going to go ahead and get it. Well, the television, the price of the television, which I thought, you heard me yesterday going around saying, hey, is anybody, whose client is that? You know, just in case I could get a connection or something. And
right.
Go down and see my friend Phil Esposito, who is my salesman.
And that's his real name.
And you know, Phil Esposito was a famous center for the Boston Bruins, right, and then went to the New York Rangers.
And a fag.
And I'm a stop it. No, he wasn't a fag.
100% gay. And so was his brother.
Tony
Esposito.
And so I was, you know, big fan of Phil Esposito. So, I mean, like, hey, I got to buy the TV from this guy. So I go in and buy the TV, and I kind of allude to the fact that, hey, can I get a little a little discount there? Well, they end up saying no. There's no discount. You know, the TV is discounted. Mm-hmm. If you know, all the stuff that's involved in high-end electronics is just jargon. If you can find a price in 60 days that's lower, we'll, you know, refund you the difference. Blah, 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 blah. Do you
but want nobody ever more? Does that.
No, no. But it was a good price on this TV. And I go in and I figure I'm going to buy the TV. And I'll be done with it, and I'll hook it up, and I'll get that high definition television.
Yeah.
It'll work. Well, no. It's nothing like that. So I get down, and he says,
So you want the surround sound system too with that, right? I said, well, does it work well with the television? He said, well, no, you want a decent upgraded surround sound system. Mm-hmm. So I say, well, I don't want to pay, you know, a tremendous amount of money for a surround sound system. I know you can get those like at Costco. You know, you can get surround. He said, yeah, but you want to, you know, we've got this one that's on sale. So I'm like, I was sold everything yesterday. Ooh. I was the worst consumer.
You poor
guy. I was the biggest mook. Sometimes, yeah, exactly. Bend over, put it in.
Right.
Because I was completely, for whatever reason, I wanted it so bad. And I wanted it to be my little home theater.
Did you walk out of the store with the entire system between your ass cheeks?
I walked out of the system and I looked over my right shoulder and you saw, you know, all like 50 salesmen just hitting their thighs, laughing out loud, just going, there he goes. Ah, look at that guy. Here's the deal. They sell me the surround sound system, and all of a sudden, I'm adding money to the purchase price exponentially. But
yeah,
even the surround sound system, I knew what I was doing. I saw the price. I knew it was expensive. I knew I was adding it to my big screen TV. And I knew, you know, right there, I know I'm paying more money. There's a conscience to say, hey, I know I'm paying this.
Right.
It's very upfront. I'm not an idiot like this. I know, hey, I know I'm going to pay for this. Here's the deal. At the end, we get them doing the sound. And I'm said, okay, I bought the surround sound. I got the TV. We're all set to go. He said, you don't need a tuner because you got DirecTV, and DirecTV can get you your high definition. We're gonna get to that later, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that adds to
right.
That adds to the whole different thing. So we get done. He's got everything up there. He said, okay, surround sound, TV. Now you have cables for that, right? I said, no, I don't have cables. I don't have any cables. And he said, well, you're going to need to get the really good picture, you need the really good cables. And here,
what are those buttons, like the
S-Video? This is component video. This is component video cables that are, now, back in the day, okay, when I was buying cables, you go in and for what? $8, $8.95, you buy a bag of these cables, you know, the red, white, and blue cables that you put into your components.
A bag of cables.
These cables now, I had to buy two different sets of these cables.
Are they have like
these
the
cables,
gold,
do you know how much they cost?
They have the gold tips on the end of
them?
Yeah,
they're the big, you know, the monster cables.
Right.
Monster. Ooh, monster. Ooh, scary monster cable.
How much?
It's monster. $150 for each set of cables. $150 for these cables.
Sorry you did that.
Why are you saying that? Because I'll take them back. I can still take them back.
You know, rather than even go to Buzz, mm-hmm, let me go to a true audio-video expert.
I can take them back.
Yeah, you might want to do that.
Let me go to a true video expert, who, as a matter of fact, was just doing some work on my system at home.
Okay. And then didn't you have a surround sound system already?
Yeah.
Oh, keep that.
Buzz?
Yes?
Hello?
It's at the other house.
Hey, Barty?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I'm here talking with Uncle Mike, who went and got a new TV yesterday.
Yeah.
Tell Bart the cables you bought and tell how... And then
I bought 10 feet, I think 10 or 15 feet, component video monster cables.
How much do you think that should cost?
$50, $100.
How much?
$150, $100. It was $150.
So you got ripped off.
I got ripped off.
I am not the god of video cables. Right?
Well, didn't you just go out and get me that S cable for the Xbox?
Dad, they had like 10 brands.
S cable is a different thing. Component video is three. They're three. It's
red,
three
blue.
It's a three prong thing that goes
Dad,
in.
Dad, if I had gotten you the monster brand,
yeah,
that would have cost about $45.
So it's just the brand that you're paying for?
Kind of, because you get a better...
Well, you know about this stuff, Buzz.
They're good cable. Monster Cable makes an excellent product, but to
That's
some degree...
That's what I have online right now.
You're paying for the brand.
You can go for the brand name.
You can go to Radio Shack, spend half what you spent, and get cables that are just as good.
Really? Well, I might take them back. But that's part of the deal, where I was in this frenzy of purchasing, where they, you know, they said, and then we get done. So I get done buying the cables, and they're not just the cables for the component; it was the cable for something else.
Right.
That I had to spend this on, and then he says, "You got a surge protector?" I said, "Surge protector."
But I think you need a surge protector,
well, Mike.
Yes.
Go to CVS and buy a surge protector.
Right. Okay. All right.
You can buy one for like $5-$10.
All right. Well, mine cost $572,000.
No, how much did you pay for your surge protector?
I don't remember how much. The surge protector wasn't that much, but it was not cheap either. was all very expensive, high-end stuff, and I was very frustrated.
They had me making the sound when you drove away.
I fancy myself, under normal circumstances,
a savvy
consumer. I do a lot of research before I buy stuff, especially when it comes to, like, buying a car. I go into a car dealer, I am armed, because you know what? With a car, even when they're going to try to screw you around with the options, if you know your stuff, you know your options, you can get out of there. I was blindsided. Wow. I walked out spending almost double what I wanted to spend.
Wow.
Well,
and I'm sitting there, you know, and
oh, but wait, okay.
Was it queued up? Here's the deal. And so he says, you might want to deal. So the satellite, certain satellite boxes, if you have DirecTV, they give you the HD. You have to probably upgrade the satellite box. And so I called the satellite guy, and I say, the guy at the store told me that I can upgrade the box. Yeah. And I said, okay, great. So he said, it's this price? He said, yeah. So he was legitimate about that. Yes, to upgrade the box. He said, yeah. And I hear him go, you know, when a guy in retail goes, you're going to have to. I'm like, oh. Here he goes, you're going to have to get a different kind of dish.
Right.
Jesus.
So you're not going to be able to use the dish you have now.
No. And then what I'm basically doing now is upgrading my landlord's place by putting a high-definition.
Why don't you just return all this crap?
Because I want it.
But couldn't
I can't,
you get...
I can't return the... I want the... I'll return the cables. I'll return the cables and the surge protector. But I'm not going to return the dish. I want to get the HDTV and the surround sound system I got was a very good one that I got I checked that when I got home and that was okay. And the price of the TV.
HDTV a little overrated.
I mean, HDTV. Oh, and then here's the deal.
It's not like you're going to look at it and go, oh my God, that's incredible.
I'm looking through a window.
Yeah, right. That's incredible 3D.
No, right. I watched it. I checked it out. And I mean, I want it because if I have the TV, I want to be able to see what it looks like. That's all. You know, it's a curiosity thing. So I'm paying $1 million for curiosity.
You have just gone to the store and looked at it in the store.
I did look at it in the store, and they had this one plasma TV.
Well, then,
you can
say, hey,
TV.
I've seen it.
It was
incredible. I have looked at it.
All right.
Hold on. Uh-oh. Listen, he does know a lot about electronics.
All right. Okay. You're right, Bart.
don't get mad at my boy.
I won't get mad at your boy. Okay. Anything else, Bart?
How much did you pay for the surge protector?
Sir, I don't. That I don't know. That's the one thing I don't remember. I don't exactly remember, but I will go to Radio Shack and get the other cables. Because they're sitting there. They're in the bag still. They're in the bag with the receipt.
Those. All right, buddy.
Okay.
I just thought you could help Uncle Mike out because I'm totally... hopeless when it comes to this stuff.
Bart hooks so lacking
everything up for me.
I mean, I was so completely, daft. And, I'm watching the HDTV net. They have HDTV net. Right. There's a channel that's only HDTV programming. And it really was amazing. I mean, an amazing picture. And the guy that runs that owns it, is that basketball owner, that crazy guy, Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban?
You know, and he's just there with his one eye above the other one, just like talking about, here we are with HDTV Net this month on HDTV Net. But that's it's cool. They were doing this whole Mexican drug interdiction show, and it was like you could just see the writing on the rifles of these Mexican army guys, and when they were burning up the pot plants, you could actually just see the smoke. It was very vivid, wow. very vivid. So
more than I'm sure.
So, but also HBO and I think Showtime. They have their HDTV. Networks. So
a lot of CBS sitcoms,
yes,
are in HGTV.
Absolutely, and they do some sports programming, but it's nowhere near where it's going to be. And so I'm buying just the TV that's upgradable, and I'm not buying the tuner or anything like that. I'm just paying a fortune for cables. So I walked out of there. I walked out of there seriously, feeling violated. I felt completely hustled, and I think that the whole way they do it is that the TV is just the tip of the iceberg, and then they go into this thing, and I was completely unprepared.
Well, that's why you got to have a shopper. That's why you got to have someone. That's like why I have Bart.
Right.
When I need something, I say, go to the store and get it.
Yes, I know.
Because I know that he's rude enough to say to the guy behind the counter,
right,
You're selling me something I don't need.
And I know a cable is a cable, but, I hope it, I'll invite you all over to cram into this little, because this is a tiny little closet-sized room that I'm jamming all this stuff into for the mirror. And I forgot to tell you, I bought the little stands for the rear speakers.
you know, so you can, I don't want to wall mount them because I'm renting.
Right.
So I can't wall mount them. So I bought those, and those cost me $50,000.
Wow.
$50,000 each. It was one of those rare.
I'm sure you got ripped off on those, too.
You know that I am, when it comes to anything retail, that I do actually pay attention to what I'm getting. I actually obsess on it a little bit. This was one of those times where I just went in, you know, maybe because of current situations being what they are, I just kind of went in just all excited, you know, waiting for that shopping rush, that new purchase rush. But then when I got on with the guys, you're going to need a new satellite. And it's like a new dish.
Right.
And you know what's going to come after you? You know what comes after the new dish? Well, we have to trench the new cable, too, that has to go in there. I know that's next.
Damn. Sounds to me like you got ripped off. I don't know. Bart, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I did.
Yeah.
You know what you should buy?
A little, yeah, absolutely.
You know what you should buy?
Nothing. Nothing for the next 6 months. Nothing ever again.
What, Barty?
Buy an Xbox.
Okay, we had...
There are only 200 now.
We had a giant fight at my house this weekend.
You attempted to steal the Xbox from my room.
No, here's the deal. Mike gave me for Christmas,
yes,
the Xbox.
I spent good money on that to get you, and I didn't research that either.
Which is the only thing I really wanted for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And after I played with it for a while, I said to Bart, you can put it in your room if you like.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, for Christmas, my wife got me one of them flat screen TVs that you hang on the wall.
Right.
Okay? It's a nice jobber.
Yeah.
And it's been up for about 6 months, and I thought, damn, it would be nice to see what the Xbox looks like on this big flat screen TV. Mm-hmm. So I go to my kid, the most spoiled child in the universe.
Whoa.
Who has...
You're an Indian giver.
Who has, incidentally, already PlayStation 2.
We had that word on the show last week.
He has a PlayStation 2. He's got the... Don't get going on that.
I remember.
He's got
moving forward.
Everything in the world he's got up there. So I go up and I say, I want the Xbox back.
And, well, you can't give it to someone who...
I didn't really give it to you. I just said you could keep it in your room.
No, you gave it to me.
We went through an entire big drawn-out fight that it was my gift from Mike.
I have no objection to you taking it. The objection was with Ben when you took it. I'm not allowed to play it anymore. Well, I can't touch your TV.
Because it's in my room with my fancy TV.
And he won't.
And I don't want you with your big 17-year-old always scratching your nuts hands and leaving food stuffs.
I don't leave food stuffs.
Yes, you do. Constantly you do. You're a bigger slob than I am. You know, every time you go into my room, you know, for all the talk I did yesterday about throwing, like, cans out the window.
Right.
I'll have you know that in my room, in my cave, in my house, I am anally retentive about this room. I mean, when Bart sits down to watch television with me and he puts his big Herman Munster feet on the coffee table.
I saw your feet on the Herman Munster, your feet on the coffee table.
Yeah, but you notice when I put my feet on the coffee table, you know what I hate that he does? I have two or three magazines that are stacked and they are perfectly
positioned,
symmetrical with everything else. I've got the magazines.
Right.
I've got an ashtray. I've got the four remotes. All of them standing next to each other at attention. And what he does, he comes and he plops down, puts his big feet up, and immediately the magazines are askew, the remotes are askew.
Mike.
Yes, yes, Mark.
Have you ever seen the movie As Good As It Gets?
Yes, absolutely.
Jack Nicholson was based on him.
Wow.
Then he goes into the bathroom and washes his hands compulsively.
I am that way about.
Do you have all the Neutrogena soaps stacked up in the cabinet?
In my cave room, I'm doing stuff like when I'm watching TV,
uh-huh,
I'll jump up maybe 10 or 15 times to readjust a picture on the wall.
Right.
If it's not exactly straight. So I say to my son,
you know, that is bordering on a little OCC.
So I say to him, I don't want you coming in my cave with your big 17-year-old hairy puberty body getting all over everything. You've got PlayStation 2 already up in your bedroom.
It's the principle.
Oh, no, it's not the principle. So what he does is he comes down to the Xbox and he says, here it is.
It's funny that this is the little guy that we were carrying around Disney World years ago, yeah, and now he's talking to you about it's the principle.
So he comes down
and it just kills me.
He says, here's the Xbox. And he gives it to me. And I say, well, I don't know how to hook it up. You got to hook it up for me. So he starts to hook it up, and it turns out this is where the cables come in.
Right.
We don't have the right cables.
You got to get good ones.
So he goes out to Best Buy, and he gets the right cable.
Actually, I went to two stores.
And he gets this baby hooked up, and he comes down, and he gives me the one game that you got me for the system, the NFL game.
Yeah, no, the one you wanted, the special one.
The Peyton Manning game, and he gives me the one controller that came with the game. Now,
the other controller and the other games are mine.
Now,
if he's going to play that game, I'll play it too.
I got him, for Christmas, I got him a controller.
Right.
And bought him a couple of games for the Xbox as well. So I said to him, I said, all right, well, you can keep the games, I guess, but give me the other remote. Give me the other controller. And he said, no, the other controller is mine. And I said, but it's worthless because you don't have an Xbox to use it on.
Misery loves company.
But it's his, so he's holding it.
Yeah.
He's holding it for the simple purpose of depriving you of it.
But the bottom
but
line...
Why would you need another controller if you're going to play it alone?
But the bottom line...
I'm asking you a question.
Because what I want is, again, the appearance, when you look at, and even the way I've got the Xbox in my little media center in front of me, it doesn't look right not to have two controllers with the cords wrapped up sitting right next to each other.
Symmetry. You want symmetry.
It looks bad to have...
I understand.
Just, it looks unbalanced.
So no real practical purpose, but for looks.
Just for looks.
There's no real need to have the other controller.
No. So I never got the other controller from him. And
Bart, you have no intention of relinquishing your controller?
If I want to play a game with him, I'll use it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, there's not a chance that's going to happen. Listen, as I said to you the other day, that was a gift given to me by Uncle Mike.
Right. You could have put it in the family TV area.
In the family TV
area. Or give me temporary permission to play the game.
Hold on. In the family TV area, we have the Dreamcast system.
No, we don't. It's not hooked up.
No. In your room, in the spoiled child's room, we have PlayStation 2. And he has
principal.
A tuner. And he has my old video disc player. Remember those things?
Right,
those,
yeah.
I earned all those, Dan. You were going to throw them out.
I was not going to throw them out.
Yes, you were. You said, if you hook up my new system, you can have them. So I spent an entire day and hooked them all up.
And you got them, and I got no problem with it. But again, you have a setup in your bedroom that probably already rivals the setup that many of the people...
I got what you spent on electronics. This is a drop in the bucket, what I did with my TV.
But many of the people who work with me, you probably have a better setup in your bedroom than a lot of the people who at the station have at home. And you're bitching at me about the fact that I want the Xbox back to play on my TV.
No, I mean, put it on your screen. Just allow me occasionally to play it.
That room...
You know, I have a question about
it. But you're not willing to share.
Do you think when they put that new HDTV satellite out, they're going to have to trench a new cable for a new cable?
Bingo.
There'll have to be an additional cable.
I think so.
One added, yeah.
I think so, but I'll tell you this about my kid. Even with all of this infighting about the Xbox and stuff...
Yes.
My wife, thank God, is out of town for a couple of days. And my son has turned out to be... as far as I'm concerned, God forbid there be a train derailment today, but we'd be fine.
Oh, God.
We'd be fine.
Oh, my God. No, you don't mean that.
Because the two of us, without her, you would be amazed how smoothly the house runs.
It's a seamless operation.
Bart, am I wrong about that?
No.
Yeah, I mean... last night it was, dude, you want to go, you going to bed? Okay, all right, I'll see you in the morning. Get up. I get up this morning, I wake him up. There's not the hassle, there's not the yelling and the screaming. I wake him up one time, I go back, I get him up again. The kid comes down, and now, again, I'm not bitching because I love Frida, and she's a great woman, but she can't cook. She really can't cook.
What'd you make this morning?
It's not what I made.
What'd your son make?
It's what the boy made.
Really?
Barney?
Eggs Benedict.
Oh, now, wow.
And furthermore, he made me Eggs Benedict.
You want to rent him out?
With holiday sauce.
With holiday sauce and all of it on the Atkins diet. So it was without the English muffin.
Right.
But last night, there's my kid whipping up this holiday sauce.
When did you go back on Atkins? After he died of kidney failure?
There was something.
I just thought I should point out.
There was a giant article in the New York Times magazine about 3 weeks ago.
Because I'll go back on it if it's
that
worth
said,
it, if they say it's okay again.
It's absolutely 100% okay.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what they likened it to, though,
was that guy, that runner.
Yeah.
Who died.
Right, right.
So it's like the same thing.
Okay, all right. So that protein stuff, you're back on that, huh?
We've been back on that a week, and as a family,
right,
we're back on that.
Okay.
And my kid, last night, now if only my wife had half of the initiative that my son does towards making a meal for a man who comes home after a day of work.
Well, your son's doing some cooking.
Wait to eat it also.
That's
what?
Great.
What, Marty?
Wait to eat it also.
Yeah, last night he makes, he's making the preparations for the breakfast this morning.
Right.
And he goes out to the store and he buys all this stuff and he gets back home and I go, what are you doing? And he's going, I'm making a marinade. For the steaks.
Beautiful. 17 years old.
In the refrigerator now, he's got steaks marinating. He's already made...
Maybe you're producing a little Emeril Lagasse here.
He's already made...
Crustless cheesecake.
He's already made for tonight a crustless cheesecake. Again, this Atkins diet thing. Mm-hmm. Marty, what will we be dining on tonight?
To start off, we'll have some cucumbers and sour cream.
Yes. Ooh.
Then a little salad with homemade Roquefort.
Because, you know, I love the blue cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Then beef medallions in a dill sauce.
Oh, yes.
And for dessert, crustless cheesecake.
Wow.
Ain't that something?
That sounds great.
And then tomorrow night, maybe I'll see if I can make the chocolate truffle.
Fantastic.
Ain't that something? And I'll tell you something else. My boy's no fag.
No.
Okay, I mean, just because he can cook good.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But he's no fag.
But, you know, maybe he has an aptitude for it, you know, restaurateur.
He absolutely does.
That's terrific. So very young to be doing that. That's very, very young to have that aptitude. And if you're into it, you know, go to cooking school.
So, I'm that's not going to happen. You don't want to go to cooking school, do you?
No, I'm no fag.
He's no fag.
No, that's not a fag thing. But you could go to, like, you could run your own restaurant. You could own your own restaurant someday.
Yeah, that is the queer duality that I have now with my son, who will be, incidentally, 18 next March. Almost a man.
Wow.
The queer duality that, on one hand, we get into it, like, about this Xbox thing, and we butt heads, and we go through about a half hour of vicious arguing. But then, on the other hand, look at this. Look at how I'm getting along
with
him.
It's just like, argument's over, and we both respect. Argument's over. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
That's good.
Yeah. That's it. All right, buddy. Well, listen, thanks. Maybe if Uncle Mike needs any help, I mean this seriously, getting this thing hooked up,
mm-hmm.
Bart will do it for you.
That's great.
And he can handle it. All right. I'll see you later.
Okay.
All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
So, yeah, Mama's gone up to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the purpose of having a New York apartment, even if you're not on the radio in New York, if you can't go up there and cram four or five of your girlfriends into a one-bedroom apartment?
You know, I should have given you the key. You know, they could have doubled up. And thanks for picking up my mail.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Yeah, you know, I was going to go up like every month or so, you know, and it's like, and then I heard your wife was going up and I said, go get my mail.
Yeah, so I got the key, give her the key.
Thanks a lot.
I'm going to pick up Mike's mail for him. I know we got a break, but getting back to the TV thing.
Yeah.
I'm amazed because here's what Mike said to me yesterday. He was so confident as he was leaving. He said, here's my plan. I'm going to go in, I'm going to get this big screen TV, and I'm going to pull my deal where I say to them, I will pay for it right now, write you a check for it today, if you have it in my home tomorrow.
And you know what? I didn't do that either. I wimped out on that, too. It was so quick and so fast, it was like lightning. And it's going to be delivered on Thursday.
Wow.
So I didn't do any of the things that I wanted. I'm a weaker man than I was a year ago. It's just, you know, I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me anymore. It's just, it's been the fight's been taken out of me, to be honest with you. You know, it's just, there's so much going on. I just, you know.
But return the cables.
Right.
Will you really?
No.
No. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
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 Hi. Is it me? Or is it you?
No, it's you. You're on the air.
Okay, hi. I just tuned in and heard that you got Bart cooking for you and a special Atkins diet. And
yeah.
He needs to make the flan. I'm on the Atkins diet. I love the flan. I trained my husband to make the chicken marsala or the chicken cacciatore.
That's like a creme brulee. The flan's like a custard.
Oh, hey, come on. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Thank you, honey.
Oh, you know what?
All right.
I know we got a break, but, you know, and then at the end of my night last night, I finally, you know, recover from this horrible purchase, and the phone rings. And I pick up the phone, and it says, recording, these are the law offices of...
Hello?
These are the law offices of Michael Shabaleski. This is not a solicitation. It is extremely important that you call our law offices. Now, also with what I've been through, I get a call from a law office, and I get just a little edgy. So I call back. You know, they say, they call me at 7:30 at night. And then they say our offices are open from 8:30 until 5 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow.
Now, is this an automated message or a real person?
Automated message. But it's a lawyer. And I'm nervous all night. I've got this. Why is this happening? And why do I, you know, it's important that you call. Anytime you get a call from a law office, you get a little hinky.
Of course.
And so I call the number at night just to see what's going to be on the other end. And I call the number and leave a message at the tone. Another automated voice, so I don't leave a message because I'm freaked out by this.
Right.
So they said 8:30. I wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sitting there watching the clock till 8:30 so I can make this phone call. See. So I call. I'm not a dope.
What kind of solicitation was it?
It's not a solicitation. This is what kills me.
Well, I'm sitting there.
I'll tell you in a second. So I call. I call the number, and it rings, and it's a. You reach the offices of Michael Shlomoleski. No one's here to take your call, but if you'll please wait, someone will be with you in a moment. And it goes on for 5 minutes, and I'm sitting there, the anxiety just rising. These are the offices of, and it's every 2 seconds, the offices of Michael Shlomoleski. There's no one here to take your call, but if you'll hold on, somebody will be with you. Then it finally gets after 10 minutes. No one is here to take your call right now. Please hold for a voicemail. And it clicks, and then it disconnects me. So I go off for an hour, and I come back, and I call it again. Finally, I get a human being. And I said, hi, I got a call last night from an automated calling thing that said I should call. She said, what is your phone number? I said, what is this in regards to? Well, we need your phone number. I said, I don't even know why you're calling. I got an automated call. Well, who do you think you're calling? That's what the lady says to me, and I'm like, I'm getting pissed off.
Sure?
So I say, all right, the phone number you called was, and I give her the phone number. She said, okay, we need to speak to Sherry Bagabigi. I said, there is no effing Sherry Bagabigi that lives at this house. Oh, sorry. Sorry to disturb you. And all of that I'm getting the name. I'm getting the name of this lawyer because I gave the. It's the wrong name, and because it's one of these Esky. I know it ends in Esky. It's like
of course it does. Of course it does.
And I want to make sure I get it right because they put me through this anxiety after I've been, you know, I've been raped at the television store.
Mm-hmm.
They put me through this crap, and you know, and I'm not sleeping well. Sleeping well at all, you know, but hey,
no wonder.
That's why they're cigarettes.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Radio God.
Hello.
Hey, I saw Dennis Murphy last night in Rehoboth Beach.
Congratulations.
He came to visit. He was at this amusement park I work
at. It's like
a
stage call.
Can I tell you something? I've had enough Dennis now to last me for a while.
Amen.
You know, we go through waves of Dennis.
And they get briefer every year.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
You guys rock. That's for Tim.
Thank you.
Did you happen to see the Tonight Show last night?
No, but please... I TiVo'd it because I saw who the guest was.
Yeah, it was classic.
Just tell me, because I'm going to watch it today when I get home. The guest was Harrison Ford. Did he appear to be retarded / drunk again?
Of course.
Excellent.
Great.
Very good.
But there's a little extra that you have to see.
Right. Okay, what was it?
I'll just say he almost hurts Jay Leno.
He almost hurts Jay... Can we hear
the story? Yeah, we got to hear it.
Yeah, we have to.
Well, what happened?
Well, apparently, he got on the subject of Indiana Jones, and he produced a whip for him to just, like, crack around just, like, for old time's sake. and he, like, whips it forward, and the officer comes whipping back and almost hits Jay sitting there at the desk. He knocks everything off the desk. The cups go flying. The stuff in the cups just go on the chair all over the desk.
Oh, well,
wow!
And he really didn't hurt Jay.
Wow, he came like close, though, on that first one. And then he had him, like, ducked down behind the desk, and he tried to do a few more times, but each time kept whipping around the desk.
How do you miss that chin?
Yeah, really?
If you got one of those Indiana Jones whips.
Yeah, it'd be great if you, like, really cut him, like, really, like, bloodied him.
Yeah. I didn't even watch it. Thank you, my friend. Normally, I will TiVo Letterman, but I was looking at the guy, and I saw Harrison Ford. Well,
Harrison Ford.
I love it. I love drunk-slash-retarded Harrison Ford on any interview show.
Yeah, he's staggering around with his whip.
Hello, Don and Mike's show. Hello?
Yes. Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, you're on the air.
My dad works for RCA, and I got bad news for Mike as far as the DirecTV thing is concerned. When he got his HDTV through work, he never had to upgrade his satellite dish, so I think they ripped him off there, too.
All right, thanks.
Well, I haven't finished that, and in fairness to my satellite guy, who is a really, really good guy and has done wonderful job for me, he was checking into what I need, and he said, you may. And so that's not a final decision yet.
Hello.
So I'll double check on that.
Don and Mike, show you see Mike's face.
He's not there, man.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I got to tell you, it's been wonderful listening to this conversation today, being the guy that has been the son of a father that I always get in fights with about. Remote controls and TV, and also working at a store where I used to hawk products to people like, you know, Mike. I feel very sorry for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now you're
hawk products to people like Mike.
I know. We have to break, but I just want to get to the next two calls because I see that they're screened.
Okay.
The first one is from Jeff in Virginia. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Jeff says. Get rid of the surge protector. We go to Michael in New Jersey, who says, Michael?
Hey, Don and Mike. Mike, you shouldn't take back the surge protector because you need to get a surge protector that's over 1,000 joules. Because
hold on. You know, you guys are not...
They're available everywhere.
I feel like I lost my joules yesterday. I'm not playing out the way it looked on the screen. On the screen, we got one guy that says, keep the surge detector.
Right.
The other guy who says, bring it back.
It's a pretty cool surge protector, though.
Well,
in all fairness.
If you like it.
It's got all the inputs for, like, the different components.
You need that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Labeled.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I have a suggestion for Mike for the name of the league for the fantasy football.
Yes, well, I think we haven't decided on that yet.
Okay, Nads. And then when you come in, you can say, go Nads, go Nads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, ass.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye, ass.
Bye. Bye, dumb bitch. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, super bitch.
Thank you.
Undouchable C.
Let's clear them out.
But I'm excited because, you know, in a month or two, I'll be watching clear television.
Yes.
Soon.
Clear them out.
I think it's all finished.
With your towels on your windows.
Absolutely.
8-7-7-365-3636.
No windows in that room where I'm going to have the TV. Good. It's just the rest of the house.
I recall 100, and I think, Robbie, today we're playing for what, $5,000?
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's half a 10.
Sure.
$5,000 on the line with the celebrity burp number 4.
That'll buy a lot of dark towels.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Ken Stevens Management Seminar is now available through audio tape.
No, I don't know what to say.
Successful radio management doesn't happen by accident. It happens with solid training.
I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement. No.
With Ken's tapes, you'll develop skills in crisis management.
Because that's why I asked you in the first place.
Enhanced memory skills.
I don't remember, but that's certainly possible.
And the all-important art of decision-making.
Can I think about it?
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar. Get yours today.
Is it Monday?
And start managing.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for more love. The Don and Mike Show.
That is a timeless commercial.
Holds up, doesn't it?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Am I calling 100?
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name, my friend?
This is John.
Hi, John. Where are you from?
Bryn Mawr, PA.
All right, John, you've got the Shallow Hal DVD. It's pretty good of Jack Black. Shallow Hal, Jack Black, and that worthless bug-like creature, Gwyneth Paltrow. Rent or own the video or DVD today. You're going to play for $5,000 now with the Celebrity Burp number 4. We're not going to give out any clues because we're still playing for enough money where we could get in trouble.
Okay.
Right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. I'll give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Joe Cocker.
And, oh, I love that. Godspeed. Oh, sorry about that.
Caller, name this celebrity burp.
Well, you got a free listen. There's another one. I'll tell you this. That's a sexy burp.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting aroused, man.
You are so beautiful.
For $5,000, who is that?
Is it Robert Vaughn?
Robert Vaughn, the man from Uncle? Negative.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, one of the clues I gave before is we've never had this guy on the show.
Ah, we had Robert Vaughn on the show.
Absolutely, thanks. Don't forget, every guest is
it's a clue for you.
It's a big star, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Just say, you know, when we get a good guest, it makes me, it re-energizes me. It makes me start thinking about who it might be. And that was an intelligent...
Certainly a much bigger star than Robert Vaughn.
Oh.
Without question.
Really? Touche.
Without question. Let me just real quickly go back to the Bob Levy thing. Because I guess he has an online session.
Sure, like they all do.
Yes. At the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody printed out and emailed to us a couple of questions that came over his email session yesterday.
Right.
That involve us.
Oh.
Let me see. Dear Bob, want to let you know that as promised in my email to you yesterday, I gave $25 to your cab drive in protest to the idiotic ramblings of Don and Mike. You're the king.
Okay.
And Bob writes, thanks. Wouldn't it be cool if the Don and Mike slash and burn job actually produced money that we wouldn't have seen otherwise? No, Don and Mike, I won't send you a cut.
Okay.
Again, the guy's really not getting what we're going after.
Apparently not. Right, right.
Let me see. Here's a great one. I know you donate your time and column space to organize Send a Kid to Camp, but do you personally donate money? Answer, every year. All right, Bob. Well, it's out there.
Uh-huh.
How much do you donate?
And you'll match it.
I'll double it.
You'll double it?
I'll double it,
wow.
You pretentious freak. Dear Bob, I gave $25 today. I have no idea who these Don and Mike characters are, but they should be ashamed for making fun of something that gives so much to the kids of D.C., Bob Levy's response. I figure Don and Mike went to camp when they were little and got stung by bees in what passes for their brains.
Okay.
Here we go.
Brilliant.
Characters.
Dear Bob, I don't listen to Don and Mike. They're jerks. What exactly is their beef with your campaign? Bob's response. If I had listened, I would know. But since I didn't... Apparently they found me sanctimonious on the basis of what evidence I couldn't say. They also referred to me by a common term for a part of the body involved in excretion on the basis of what evidence I couldn't say.
When did we do that?
I don't know.
Did what we say Bob BM or something?
I might have called it an ass.
Might have called it an ass.
Must be what he's saying.
Well, I don't understand what he means, ass.
They also implied that I don't give my own money to the cause on the basis of one evidence I couldn't say. In fact, I give every year and have since I started Send a Kid to Camp 21 years ago. All right, beautiful. If that's the case,
you will not only double it, but we will shut up about him.
Yeah. Bob, contact me.
And you'll raise some money and it'll all go away.
You sanctimonious ass. You walking BM.
Oh, no.
Contact me in the office, and what I would like is a copy of the canceled check from last year or this year with the amount of money that you personally have donated to Send a Kid to Camp.
And you'll double it.
I will double it. Now, you should also know, Mr. Levy, I will tell my audience the amount of money that you personally donate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not meet my challenge, I'm only guessing it's because you're ashamed of the amount of money that you actually donate yourself, because otherwise you're looking at getting double whatever it is you donate from me.
$20.
Hey, that's $40.
So, I mean, unless,
no, I'm talking about what Don's amount that he would double.
From the 10.
Right.
Right. So unless you...
A total windfall of $30.
Unless you just totally cheap out and toss like $50 in the pot every year, it'll be real easy. Mm-hmm. It'll be an easy way for you to shut my big mouth up and to answer my question, do you actually pay out of your own pocket?
There you go.
You've answered that in this online column. That
you
should do.
Now you just want a specific, and you'll double it.
I will absolutely double it. And I still think it's a waste of column space.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to do something, join the Peace Corps. Because the last time I checked, you were hired by the Washington Post to write allegedly humorous commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wondering why I'm talking about it, I was hired and Mike was hired to point out on our radio show sanctimonious pieces of crap like you. That's our job.
And the reason we say sanctimonious, we do get the impression when you listen to him and when you read him that he looks down his nose at people and, you know, he has a holier-than-thou attitude. Mm-hmm. And we don't like people with holier-than-thou attitudes.
No.
You can read his column and make your own determination. But when he talks about, you know, being so offended at the boy that was eating French fries on the subway, please, I think that's a holier-than-thou attitude.
And I was never bitten in the brain by a bee.
Bitten. Bee bit me.
Bee bit.
Do people say that? That's a big redneck one.
Yeah.
Hey, the bee bit me.
A bee bit me right in the brain.
Bee don't bite, they sting.
Bee bit me. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
All right, now I'm going to tell you first off who this guy is.
I called last week.
This is the same guy
from
last week with the Bob Levy thing.
Oh, okay. God.
Bob's friend.
It's so tedious. Yeah,
Bob's good friend. Well, it's been a week.
Not a good friend. And I want to correct Mike because he said that I always call. And last week was the first time I called. And
did you call last week?
Yes, I called last week.
Are you calling this week?
Yes.
That means you always call.
You always call.
That's two times.
There you go. You've proven my point.
And I believe you said last week that you had called previously about Bob Levy.
What?
You did say last week when you called.
I called two times during the day last week.
Right.
You know, but you said in one of those conversations, you even called us in previous years.
No, I hadn't called before then.
Oh, God, you are such a low. What do you want?
What do you want, dude?
I just think it's kind of hypocritical because you guys, you know, tell people, you know, if you don't like our show, don't listen. But you're sitting here, you know, berating about him. And, you know, Don, are you really, if he donates $20,000.
I will donate $40,000.
Donate $40,000.
Yes.
Well, that's very good of you.
Yes, it is.
To help the kids.
Yes, it is.
And, yeah, send the kids.
You're goddamn right, because you know why? I'm a great guy. I'm a great guy, but I don't spend all day on my radio show talking about what a great guy I am, even though it's obvious.
Right. Dude, that's why you don't
ask. The greatest. I'm on the radio talking about how bad everyone else is.
That's our job.
So in turn, that's saying you're so great because everyone else is so bad.
Well, that's true.
And your friend or your acquaintance, Mr. Levy, hasn't been in touch with us. Your alleged friend, even though you've made the whole thing up.
And if Bob was to have given $100,000,
you always say that, Mike. Whenever you don't agree with someone, you always say
no. Now, see, anyone
making it up.
Anyone that would say that is a regular listener of the program. I am a regular listener.
You are the one. You are the one who called us and said.
I always say it to people like you.
You are the one who called us and said that you have contact with the Levy family personally.
I have had contact in the past. And I called and left them a message.
Let me explain why I say that I think you're a phony. I think you're a phony because when you do call in, you don't really have an agenda as much as you just want to hear your voice on the radio.
Well, what is the purpose?
You enjoy the arguing more than anybody that I've heard in recent memory.
Yeah, well, what's the purpose of the call today? Because it sounds to me like...
You brought up the whole Levy issue again.
It's the same issue that we had last week. Well, it's my show.
Well, yeah, and you can do whatever you want.
Correct. That's what's again. That's why I'm the greatest.
Right, you're the best.
And I've
Thank
had
you.
Many, many well, arguments.
Your son, your Xbox.
I've had many, many arguments with people where I've just continued on and haven't identified them as regular callers.
Hey, douche.
What?
Did you just mention my son to my Xbox?
Well, you
may I tell you something?
God.
May I tell you something else?
What?
I am a better father to my son than your father ever was to you, ever. I know it. Because well, I know for a fact, and how old are you?
I'm 25.
I know that when my son turns 25, mm-hmm. he won't be wasting his time calling stupid radio shows, defending douchebags who he happened to be in ballet with the daughter of a guy who wrote a column for a newspaper. So right away, I know I'm a better parent because my son will know better than to call radio shows.
Right.
He will. I'm a better
Why
parent.
Why are you mentioning ballet? Are you insinuating that I'm gay?
You mentioned to us that you knew one of the Levy siblings, one of the children, through a ballet class.
No, that's not true. You should play the tape again. I was in a play with her.
Okay. All right, same
it's
difference.
Not a ballet.
Same difference.
It's was there dancing? Difference. Was there dancing in the play? Was there dancing in the play? Answer my question.
A lot of plays.
Was there dancing in the
yes.
play?
Yes, there was.
Okay.
it was dancing.
Did you dance? Did you dance in the play?
Very, very manly.
A little. A manly dance, you said.
So you're a
manly
dancer. Dance. So it was a different form of dancing. Don had the wrong genre of dancing.
It was
ballet, stage dancing.
Stage dancing.
Was it tap?
No, there was no tapping involved.
Well, what is the point of the calling of the show, really? You got on the radio last week. We had it out with you last week. I'm not going to let this thing with your man Levy go. If he's a stand-up guy.
And I stand by. You know, Don believes you. I want to make it real clear. Don thinks that you really do have contact with the Levy family. I think you have never met anybody in that family. I think you are a phony.
And I stand by. All I want to know is this guy who wastes his column time getting other people to do his work for him, how much he actually contributes himself. And I will double that. I will double that. And unless he is totally ashamed of the amount of money he's donated, he would step up to the plate. He would contact me off the air, he would give me a receipt, and he would have the ultimate FU against me. Mm-hmm. The ultimate FU, because I would have to come on the air and tell my audience, Bob Levy gave X amount of dollars,
right.
And I am forced to double that.
And if it's like $100, that's great. And if it's
$100, that's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
$20,000, you'll give $40,000, and Mike, you'll give $400,000?
Yes.
A penny on the dollar?
Yes, I was going to do two, you know, but Don knocked me back to one.
I will bet you right now, and as a matter of fact, I'll bet you, how about this? You and I make a side bet. I'm giving your man Levy till the end of the week to get back to me if he really wants to get some money for his kids. How about I bet you
that is end of show on Friday? I'd like to be specific about that. End that is show? End of show on Friday.
So it has to be before 3 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah. He never gets back to me. He never gets back to me. And if he doesn't ever get back to me, you're never allowed to call the show again. But if Levy does get back to me and does, in fact, show me how much he's given and I double it, I'll give you 5 minutes of airtime to say anything you want.
I'm not interested in airtime. This is just the one issue that...
What I'm saying, though, is you'll never be able to call again. If you have faith in your man Levy, you should take the bet.
I'll take the bet.
Good. Great. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See ya. Hello?
He doesn't know Bob Levy.
Don and Mike.
And there was dancing.
Hey, Don, Mike, what are you going to do if it turns out he gives $100,000?
Then I'll give $200,000.
Oh, I'm so worried about you. I hate this Levy guy.
Listen, I'm telling you something. Honey.
There's no way he gives $100,000.
There's no way. There's no way he makes $100,000 a year.
Oh, high and mighty. He just might, just to prove you wrong.
There's no way he makes $100,000 a year.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I think it's a wonderful idea, and it's a no-lose concept.
That's right.
Here. You know, I mean, in the event that Bob Levy does give a chunk of change, Don doubles it. The program, the kids send a kid to camp, that does it makes money for the cost. Good, good, good.
You're a great guy, Don.
I know I am. Thank you.
Bye.
I know she might be frightened, but in hand, all they have so far is 261.
Right.
So I doubt he gave 100 of that. I think most of that probably came from his 8 readers.
Yeah. I would bet it's under 4 figures.
If it's $20,000 and you give 40, that means I have to give 400. I'm not in any way prepared to do that.
I'll front it to you.
Okay, thank you.
But why
not donate a cable?
I'm willing to bet that Levy's donation is not even in 4 figures. It's probably like $500.
I would say that's probably the number that I would think of.
And that's exactly why he won't confront me on this, because imagine how embarrassing it would be to have the front man for the organization,
mm-hmm.
who is now in an online column answering my question, do you donate? Yes, I donate every year. To donate $500. I mean, if you're really the front guy for the thing,
right.
and you're the guy standing up front,
yeah.
hell, throw $1,000, throw $5,000 their way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bob, if you really care about the kids,
right?
If you really care about them, yeah. Bob.
Do you think he takes the tired tack? But I donate my time.
Your time. I guarantee you.
Hey, Rob, that's worked for us in a number of years. All right, back off on that.
Nothing tired about
leave,
that.
Leave the
idea.
Microphone. That's very,
on the
bad. That's very bad. I've used that for many, many moons, Rob. That's valuable.
Hello, Donovan.
Those
Mike.
Golf tournaments meant something.
I need money.
Hey, Donovan.
Hi.
Yeah, make sure that the check is cleared before today. That way he doesn't write some bogus check now, you know, for a couple grand.
Yeah, and no,
he could play around with it.
Yeah, the check has to be cleared. It has to have the stamp saying.
You've got your sources that you can check it out and make sure it's
processed. And, Don.
Yeah.
When did you start fronting Mike's band? Have you seen the On Tap paper? There's a big ad for Mike's band and your picture's on it.
Is it really?
Where is this, sir?
It's called On Tap. It's like a newspaper. It's in a lot of bars, Tower Records.
What is it? Is it the picture of Mike and I?
No. Just you.
well, you got to get that to me. What does it
all right,
say?
I'll bring one by tomorrow.
Does it mention Don's name in it?
No, it just has, it says from the Don and Mike show, and it has Mike's picture. I mean, Don's picture, not Mike.
Somebody screwed up.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's embarrassing.
Yeah. That's I won't even begin to tell you about our band woes.
Uh-oh.
Just know that we could have a behind the music that would curl your hair.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Again.
Hello. Oh, is this the beginning of the end?
No, it's just, things are all is not well.
Mm.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I just got one thing to say about the proposal to Levy.
Yes.
Remember the underwear tee.
The underwear tee. He's the
Super Bowl bet.
He's bringing up the Super Bowl bet.
You know what? I paid off on that bet, didn't I?
I know. That's what I'm saying, that you might have to pay off on this one.
I don't think so. But I don't mind.
Willing
you know
to
what?
Do that.
I would gladly.
I'm just still laughing if it's your picture. Mike O'Mara under your face.
I would gladly donate double whatever Bob Levy donates.
Okay, just talk to Frieda about it.
I already have.
Okay.
All right.
Everything's fine. Have you really?
Right, sir.
People are concerned.
No, I have. And we are both convinced of the cheapness of Bob Levy. Right.
You have it?
I got it.
You have
it. Oh,
what?
Good.
On tap?
On tap. It's funny. PJ Skidoo's The American Way presents the Crab Blues Band featuring Mike O'Mara from the nationally syndicated Don and Mike show.
What is he?
It's a picture of just me. Just me.
That's great.
I demand that all of these issues be immediately taken off newsstands.
Oh, that's... I apologize.
Although,
I'm real sorry.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
You're going to get laid at your next appearance. That I guarantee.
That is too funny.
Girls wanted to give you BJs.
Oh, that is too goddamn funny. Oh, my God.
You see, you've never looked better.
Oh, that is fantastic. Is this a weekly or a monthly?
Probably weekly.
Probably a weekly. We'll see if we can rectify that situation.
Hello, Don and Mike.
You know what? He looks good, doesn't he?
That's good.
You know, I'm thinking keeping it just that way.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey.
So what's to stop Levy from just dropping a huge donation right now just to drag some money out of you?
That's fine with me.
I dumped the stock just to burn your ass.
That's fine with me. That's fine with me.
Get go. You're a two-bit pirate, nothing more.
All the money goes to charity.
What's to stop me from dumping the stock just to burn your ass?
Well, sir.
Since you brought my mother into it.
And what does he call him, sir? Because the guy
Sir Larry.
Sir Larry.
Sir Larry takes him up to see his gun collection.
Sir Larry.
I dumped the stock. You're a two-bit pirate, nothing more. There's another word that he uses, too. I forgot. A two-bit pirate and something.
Wall Street is one of those movies. You know, and that's the fallacy of cable TV and satellite TV, that you think when you get HBO and when you get Showtime and when you get Starz and when you get Encore and you get Cinemax, you think that out of all of those hundreds of the movie channels, that at some point you're going to find a good movie every time you turn it on, a movie like Wall Street.
It is mind-boggling.
And you never do.
It's mind-boggling with the movies that are out there. I mean, just the movies that you could watch again and again and again that they don't run. That, you know, you see these movies, that, you see movies like Point of Origin with Ray Liotta last night, where he plays an arsonist, like one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
There's you're still looking at that ad?
There's your picture. Don Geronimo will be there at PJ Skidoo's.
I'm telling you, you're going to get laid.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
You're going
to
get laid.
That's great.
God.
You know,
look at that venue.
That particular venue, I went there, sat down with the guy that runs the joint.
So he knows what you look like.
Yeah, yeah, he knows exactly what I look like. That is so funny.
All right, we got to break, Robbie.
Yeah, we ought to.
When we come back, oh, let me just say sex,
sex.
Okay, let me just say that.
Good
sex. All right. We come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
I'm Rob. I'm with the Don and Mike Show, and I was wondering if you had a message for Don and Mike.
Stay healthy. Be good. Be kind to your neighbors. Try to follow the golden rule, and stop. Stop this string of robberies. I think it's uncalled for that you haven't been caught. I think paying off the police has been terrible. I think it's inexcusable. And also, I would suggest you marry more.
Hey, Blair, will you sign a book for Gordon?
Of course I will. Here, I'm signing a book for G. Gordon Liddy.
Outstanding.
Okay, but
what will you write?
Can you read?
What are you doing this for?
This is for Don and Mike.
Huge fans.
I like huge fans. Pouncing on him when he walks out.
She doesn't like that. She's
never seen me pound.
Anyway, give my best to Don and Mike and remind him of the time I took over their show.
I will indeed. What's the name of your book, sir?
The name of the book is Future Talk. Larry King, Conversations About Tomorrow. Don and Mike wouldn't read it because it requires intelligence.
Okay, very good.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
You're a goddamn genius.
I knew.
Ready to answer the hard number, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I was wondering if I could maybe play something for a prize. I mean, kind of feeling a little lucky today.
You just say, in general, you're feeling lucky, so you thought you'd call the show.
Absolutely.
Well, what makes you feel so lucky today?
I don't know. I just woke up in one of them lucky moods, so I feel like you guys take care of it.
You're wrong. It's a very unlucky day for you.
You just hung up on him. He's still on the show.
I'm just telling him how unlucky he is.
Right. You're very unlucky.
Why am I? What makes you so unlucky?
This might be one of the most unlucky things that's ever happened to you.
Yeah, way up there.
Here he goes. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
The luck stops here.
Don?
Yeah.
Can you guys send me to camp?
Oh, the crying guy.
I never had to go to camp. I was going to go to camp.
You wanted to go to camp?
Yeah, for the summer.
Yeah, but you're a grown man. What would you do at camp with children?
Well, I can't go.
No, you can't go. You're a grown man.
Aren't you more concerned about Mike having towels up and blankets instead of drapers?
Mike?
Yeah, how you doing, pal?
Did you get your TV?
Yeah, I did. I overpaid for it.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I'm bastard.
I know. Thanks for feeling my pain. I know.
Screwed you over, man. Yeah. Mike, the crap blues band?
Yeah?
I'm going to listen to the webcast, man.
Okay, good. Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
I'm a super fan.
All right, good. Look for Don's picture.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Buzz.
Yes, crying man.
You got any weed?
If it'll help, sure.
Hello, Todd and Mike Show. Hello, turn your radio down, please.
Hello?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, Tom.
Come on.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, where's Charlie?
Charlie's not here, Tom.
What do you want, Tom?
I'm wondering if I can get on the fantasy football thing.
No, Mike, you know what?
What? No, don't make me responsible.
No, you are. If we let him in, he's co-owner of your team.
Done.
Wow.
I don't want him at the draft. Are you going to bring him to the draft?
Would the draft be here on the air?
No, we'd have it. We do it like we always do. Except we'll have
a separate day?
We'll have a real party, though.
Okay. All right. No, Tom, you can't be in the league.
Bye, Tom.
Yes, I can be in the league. Charlie's going to be in the league. I'm going to be in the league.
No.
Carl Grossman's going to be in the league.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Charlie's going to be there.
Nope.
Everybody else.
Right, everybody but you.
Yes, I will be there. And all also, right. I'd like to say that my buddy John Stevens in age one for, he's running for Virginia. What do you call it?
Yeah, your buddy John Stevens is the guy who ran DonandMikeFans.com. You tell your buddy John Stevens to go to hell.
Why don't y'all go to hell?
Hey. Hey, that was as nasty as Tom's ever been. What's he running for something?
I don't know.
We should find out. Back the other guy.
You bet. Listen, the new Cosmo is out, and it has, as it says on the cover, our juiciest sex survey ever.
Wonderful.
And now, Cosmo is a magazine for women, which normally gives the female perspective.
Mm-hmm.
What they did was, they talked to more than 7,000 men.
Okay.
And this is a survey from men, from our perspective.
A male's perspective.
Good. To tell the broads who read Cosmo exactly what we want.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's see.
Ooh.
Let's see.
Yeah, here's what we want, baby.
Sex secret number one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We asked, who do you want to make the first move? 78% of guys said she should make the first move.
I agree with that.
22% said he should.
Yeah, that's a legitimate split. You would get that percentage of guys that are lying.
Right.
I agree. I want her to instigate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we're basically, you know, fumbling, bumbling, shy guys. And we want to make sure that, you know, we know you want it.
Right. And plus, the deal is, we're always ready.
That's right.
We're like 7-Eleven. We're always open. We don't even have locks on our door.
We're like Freddy.
Always ready.
Mighty
Freddy.
The Disco Frog.
Sex secret number two. We asked, what's the best way for her to set the mood? Now, for me, the answer would be simple. Show up. Show up. Take your clothes off.
Oh, set the mood. I thought we were still on the kind of the related topic of things going.
No, this is sex secret number two.
Set the mood.
What's the best way for her to set the mood? My answer would be just show up.
Yeah. I would like it. I would like touching.
A gentle
touch of the arm.
Well, let me see.
Some kind of a sign.
Men love to be pampered.
Mm-hmm.
30%. Excuse me. Now, we have a three-way tie here.
A three-way. Now, that's a good way to set the mood.
33% said, give me a massage. Which is what you guys want.
Yeah, touching.
33% said, strip for me. Which is, in essence, what I like.
Right.
Just show up, take your clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
And a third said, just take me.
Just take me.
Just take me.
Yeah. You know, no good answers.
No need for any mood. Let's just do it.
I like the tactile, you know, the little touching to start.
Right? Oh, and then, of course, you get the 1% that said, cook me a delicious meal.
Oh, F you. That's the liars.
Yeah, we'll go out.
That's the liars.
Here, cook me a delicious meal so I can get all filled up.
Sex secret number three from Cosmo.
You sit there and make love. We're trying not to fart.
We asked men, what's the sexiest non-physical way she can turn you on before you get it on?
Oh, I know this one.
My answer would be, for me, again, just walk around naked. That does it for me. That's not, I mean, now that would that count as non-physical?
Yeah,
but she's not touching me.
Yeah, if she's walking around naked, but she's not touching.
If she just walks around naked, and I'm talking about my wife here, that does it for me.
Mine would be a look, you know, the eyes. The eyes. You can communicate a lot with your eyes. Flirting with the eye, the look, the facial expression.
The look or words, something she could say.
All right, Buzz, so here we go.
I'll say words.
All right. 54% say wear something revealing, which is kind of what I'm into.
Right, right.
get naked. 21% divulge your most erotic fantasy.
That's talking, sort of. Yeah.
Mondo Buzz, here you go.
Okay.
20% say something dirty.
Yeah.
There you go. Mine wasn't even in there.
It should be, though. The look is good.
3% say compliment my body.
Well, that, I know you were lying.
And 2% said suggest keeping the lights on.
What? All right, well, this is, see, I'm getting confused. This is after you're definitely going to have sex. So I would be the wear something revealing.
All right. Sex secret number 3.
No, I check that. I'd be say something suggestive. Yeah. I'm with Buzz on that.
Well, I like naked.
I like talk.
They're all good.
I like bad talk.
But I like bad talk when we're doing it.
I like bad talk from a woman who's naked.
I like bad talk from a woman who's giving me a sexy look and is naked.
There you go.
Number 3, sex secret number 3. What's the sexiest non-physical way she can turn you on before you... Oh, I just did that.
That's
number 4.
Question.
Number 4, sorry. What's the best way a woman can show that she wants to sleep with you?
We've covered that.
That's the same question.
Mike, Buzz, this is question number 4.
But I mean, it's similar.
What is the best way a woman can show she wants to sleep with you?
Like before you've established you're going to have sex? Or is this like...
I'll just tell you the answer. 37% said, tell me you want me. 26% said, take my hand and lead me to bed. 20% said, grab my package.
Good answer.
Now, I'm with that one.
17% said, French kiss me deeply.
No, because you never know with French kiss. You want to make it clear? I like it clear. Grab the package.
All right, now, here we go. Turn the music off for this very important question, number 5.
Wow.
What's the most important thing she can do during oral?
The most important thing she can do during oral?
And I'm not looking at the answers in advance to tell you how America answered. And remember, guys, when you answer, you got to speak in code. But I will tell you that for me...
I will tell you what I know what it is for me.
What?
Go slowly.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget my bees.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Lick my bees.
I like going...
Lick my bees.
Starting slowly, that's important.
Buzz?
I had touch elsewhere, but also make noises. That's always good.
Touch elsewhere, make noises.
Yeah. Touch is Duke.
Well, or bees, as you said, is a good
example.
No, but
more importantly is Duke.
Well, you know, it's not too much trouble.
All right.
He's being honest. He's an honest man.
I say,
I don't mind that one either.
I say. Well, choose one, Mike.
No, I want...
You want ass play?
Yeah, during oral? No, because it's too much to ask for.
What is the most
state.
What is the most important thing she can do during oral?
Keep her teeth out of the way. No, go, be gentle.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, that's my final answer.
Buzz?
I'll say make noises.
And I say, don't forget the bees.
Right.
Tickle the bees.
All right.
33% say, use more tongue.
Mm-hmm.
26% say lavish attention all over,
mm-hmm.
not just the helmet.
Okay.
13% say swallow. 13% say play with my bees.
There you go. Once again, I'm not in there.
9% say cover your teeth.
Well, here you go.
6% say suck hard.
Really? Wow.
I like the more...
I'm going to go, since mine wasn't in there, I'll go with the more tongue.
That was a good answer.
Yeah.
All right, number 6.
Lavish the attention.
Elsewhere.
If you could spend foreplay doing only one thing, what would it be?
I have the answer to this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Watching television.
But come on, really?
Playing with the breasts.
I'm with you. That's a match.
Yeah.
I'm saying doing the favor for her, if you know what I mean.
Down there.
That would be the first place I go.
That is the number one answer, Buzz.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Give her oral.
Right.
Number 2 answer, fondle each other.
Mm-hmm.
which I guess would be our answer, but really,
that's strong.
I'm like you, I'm just playing with the T's.
Right.
receive oral, kiss each other, and massage each other.
Okay.
Question number 7.
Pussy survey. It's like edited by women.
It's in Cosmo. What do you crave most when you're doing the deed? And I'll tell you right there, I know the answer. I like the dirty talk. I like the dirty talk. I like to hear that you like what's happening. I like to hear that you like what I'm doing and what I'm doing it with. I could go on, but anyone else? Jump in when you're ready.
I don't know. I don't know what I crave most. What I crave most is...
I crave... Wow. You are absolutely friggin'...
So you like dirty talk?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Crave dirty in the while doing the deed.
While doing the deed, I love the dirty, and I love the dirty talk right in my ear. I mean, like just the whisper, like. Otherwise, I always tell my wife, like, that's the easiest way to make sure that it's going to be over.
Yeah.
Because if we're doing it and she gives me some of that. Okay, I'm over.
That does accelerate.
I'm done.
Well, during the deed, I like, I crave a woman being completely letting herself go.
Mm-hmm. Buzz.
Yeah, I would say a verbal and physical response. I want to hear the things, the kinds of things that you want to hear. I also want to see signs, physical signs, that she's enjoying herself.
Did you ever see him get, did you ever see him remotely get motivated?
This is my wheelhouse, right, man.
Yeah. And I have the answer from Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
The question again is, what do you crave most while you're doing the deed?
What's Rob crying most?
I like for the crying to stop. All right, here's your number one answer. Your number one answer is creativity and experimentation.
That's me right there, number one, very good.
Number two, having her take control.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, for me, dirty talk.
Yep.
Number four, changing positions.
Yeah, that's kind of related to number one.
Experimentation.
And number five, kissing. Who likes to kiss when they're effing?
I do.
Hard to do. You can chip a tooth.
And,
that's the best time to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's do one more here before we break. What is your favorite position? I think you know my favorite position. The only position we ever use in my house. Me on the bottom and Frida on top. And what's the name of that? Besides calling it woman on top.
Lazy boy?
I don't know the name.
Does it have a catchphrase?
Lazy boy.
Lazy boy.
We'll call it. Because mine doesn't have a name either. Because I do not like with the woman lying flat out on her stomach.
That's lying on her stomach, and then you...
Yeah,
you,
okay, yeah, but not like up on the knees or anything, just kind of like, like we're a couple of salamanders.
I think you'd call mine maybe cowgirl.
I think you'd call mine pancake.
Mm-hmm. And Buzz?
Wow, it's a toss style.
Number one answer? Woman on top.
Hey, how about that?
Really? Cowgirl.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Number two answer? Doggy.
Which is related to mine.
Right.
Number three, missionary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number four, side by side. Number five, other. Number six.
That's the swing, by the way.
Number six, standing up.
Standing up.
Standing up.
Oh, man. You've never done that?
No.
Really?
Never had sex standing up.
Oh, standing up is cool.
Okay, we got to break.
They're all good.
okay, when we come back, how many of these are there? God damn it.
I like it.
Yeah.
There are, I don't know, there's like 25 of them.
Good.
So we're just getting into the beginning here.
Yeah, ladies, go tell us how we're doing.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don, Jill Theismann, how you doing, buddy? I listen to your show every morning. I'm sitting at my farm, and I just heard the story about McMahon. And let me explain something to you. Okay. First of all, I've been there. See, you haven't been here for a short period of time. Yeah, it is me, Don. I'm not kidding. I'm flat square on. I love your program in the morning, but you don't really know what Joe Theismann's like. You ever been in a Super Bowl?
The Don and Mike Show.
Ouch.
Stand up for yourself, Poindexter.
Damn.
Providing more comedy in their left channel than most radio shows can in full stereo. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's a hard one to come back from.
Yeah, thus began the friendship, you know, because there was really nothing one could say after that.
What are you doing, Lucy?
Don't just come in at the last second and thrust something in front of me.
What are you thrusting at me?
Lisa is thrusting. Lisa,
what are you thrusting?
Just putting something in front of you if you wanted to get to it as you're doing this, and it's different positions with degrees of difficulty and...
Oh, the names.
Oh, they have names?
Yes.
Oh, good, good.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for thrusting.
Yes, I'm sorry to thrust.
No. You've been hovering, and then as soon as we went on the air, you thrusted.
I think thrusting is better than hovering.
Mm-hmm. I like them both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but then I like everything.
Of course you do. Before we get back to this thing in Cosmopolitan.
Yes.
A real quick note, I just want to point out. I went to the Washington Post today. Something that I know... for a fact happened, that Tony Kornheiser, who does a show that's on same time as our show,
mm-hmm.
we killed him in the ratings. Sorry about that, Tony.
Right.
But he's still a good guy and a funny guy.
Yeah, nice man.
And he has a pretty goddamn good radio show. He's been suspended by ESPN.
Oh.
And the reason he was suspended, and I know some people work at ESPN Radio,
mm-hmm.
they have an internet feed.
Right.
And during the commercials... if you were listening on the internet, allegedly, sometimes Tony Kornheiser would cuss.
Right.
And they asked him, I guess, not to, or whatever it is, or he's talking about management or something, whatever it
okay.
is. Tony Kornheiser is suspended, and it is written about in the Washington Post today,
mm-hmm.
but nowhere in the article is there the implication that it could be a stunt, that it could be a hoax,
right.
that it could be some type of ratings gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my question is, how come when we got suspended,
mm-hmm.
were we on the front page of the paper mm-hmm. and it said, could this be a hoax? Are we being duped?
Mm-hmm.
Don and Mike suspended. Clever ratings ploy.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when it's Tony Kornheiser being suspended, the headline is simply, Kornheiser suspended.
Right.
And the story gets written to say that he did some stuff that pissed off management and they pulled him off the air.
The only thing I could say to that would be because we're goofy shock jocks.
Okay.
That anyway, must be it.
There you go.
I just had that question. But he's a goofy sports guy, though.
He's a goofy, shocking sports guy with great hair.
Anyway.
But you two are characters.
Right.
Yeah.
You too, Rob.
Hey.
Dude. Rob, you're not a character. You're a character.
A character. Right. Back to the Cosmopolitan sex survey.
And this is beautiful, sexy music for right. the sex survey.
Sex survey from Cosmopolitan Magazine.
Baby.
During sex. Now, they asked 7,000 guys.
Why?
Their opinion.
Yeah, they say that.
Yeah.
They asked, like, the guys down in the mailroom.
During sex, which body part do you want her to focus on the most?
Easy.
Easy for me, too.
Yeah. Easy, my thing.
I think it's unanimous.
My bees.
Well, there you are with your bees again.
Huh. I love it. I love... Well,
I don't.
My bees, and you would be your thing?
Yeah.
Buzz?
I would say the package.
The package,
yeah.
Meaning bees and
yeah,
bees.
Yeah, we're all talking about the same area.
Yeah.
No, but I'm being specific.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, you are.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. And are you being specific? Are you saying the whole package, or are you saying just
yeah, I suppose
the bee?
The whole package. The whole package.
All right.
Special emphasis to the tippy top.
During sex, which body part do you want her to focus on
thank
the
you.
Most?
Thank you.
Hey. Number one, 60%. My bees.
Oh, wonderful. Wow.
That's good.
Number two, 22%. My nipples.
Oh, my God, no.
Number three, 17%. My anus.
Buzz?
Wow. Well, they're all good, but my first choice, which was the question.
1% said my toes.
Oh. Well, I guess the closest thing to what I was saying would be the bees, but not specifically.
All right, here's the next one. And you know where I'm going to line up on this. Do you like to have your no-no touched during sex? Absolutely not. Mike.
Absolutely, yes.
Buzz.
I think we know. Yes, yes.
All right, let's see.
Again and again and again.
69% say, no, I don't like to have my no-no touched. 31% say, yes, I do like to have my no-no touch.
We're in the minority.
About one out of three, though.
What turns you off most about her after-sex behavior? And I know this one. I've got this. My wife does this. And keep in mind, I don't like to snuggle and cuddle and kiss afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I am offended when my wife immediately, the second we are done, as soon as I've planted my seed, she goes to the bathroom.
Right.
And she sits on the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And I guess what she does is she just makes sure that it's all gone.
Okay. That doesn't annoy me, but...
That annoys me.
That happens.
I mean, it's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are done, and she's like, oh, I love you. Blah. And then she goes right to the bathroom. Hi, Lisa.
In defense of women, this is something that typically we're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to the bathroom and go to naturally clean yourself. And it prevents any kinds of infections.
Yeah, what Lisa's saying is your wife's not unusual. I think that's what
pisses me off.
Almost all women do. I don't mind it because I like that quiet time when I just lie there in quiet reflection. All right, and well, since that's usually what's done, then I'm going to say nothing bothers me.
Yeah.
So nothing bothers
me. I don't have any complaints afterwards.
I'm so grateful I would say nothing.
Yeah. Right, nothing.
Nothing. All right, what was the question? Hold on. What turned you off most about her after-sex behavior? Number one answer, lengthy, probing conversations.
That doesn't happen that much.
No. Yeah, I would agree, though. It's annoying.
It would be if it did.
Number two, when she runs to the bathroom to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, when she pushes for another round, even though I'm done. All right. Number 12. What do you fear most in bed?
I know.
What do you fear most in bed?
I have one.
What?
Farting.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but I've had those moments.
So have I.
I dread that.
That's still probably number one.
You ever fart when you're getting a BJ?
No, never have.
I have.
I had to stifle them.
At the moment of the happy ending.
Right, right.
Because I lost control.
Yeah.
I lost control.
That's my greatest fear, and I'm happy to say I have never done that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was great.
Maybe once or twice.
All right, so farting.
And farting.
We're all agreed. Let me see. What do you fear most in bed? Number one answer? Finishing too quickly.
Oh, that doesn't scare me at all.
Number two, not bringing her to completion.
That doesn't scare me at all.
Me either. That's the norm.
Not a fear.
Incidentally, both of those in my bed,
uh-huh. Right.
Those are normal. I finish too quick, and she doesn't get it complete. My body not turning her on. And God. Having a package that's too small.
This is not
legitimate. Where's farting?
They weren't being honest.
No, it's bogus.
It's bogus. It's bogus. Right, this is written by women. This is the sex music.
Yeah. What phrase turns you on most in bed?
Oh, man.
Now we're going to have to censor ourselves here.
Yeah, I know what it is for me.
What?
F me.
I like... Your D is enormous. Something along those lines.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Your D is gigantic.
Right. No, you know what? I'm going to change mine. I don't know if I can say this. Your D feels so... H.
Okay. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Buzz?
I like Mike's first choice. Ethne.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see what the answer is.
That would be my favorite.
What phrase turns you on?
It's music.
The most in bed.
It plays at my house all the time.
Number one, I love the way you feel. Number two, don't stop.
I hate that one.
Number three?
I've never heard it.
So I couldn't comment.
I feel pressured when I hear that.
Yeah. Number three? You are so big.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a good one. And number four? Your tongue is incredible.
You know, this is like some of those lists that you get in magazines.
Yeah.
Where they were almost making them up.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most overrated sex act? I can't think of any.
Overrated?
The most overrated sex act. I really can't think of any. I like them all.
Maybe it's a woman's question.
You're asking guys, though.
What is the most overrated set? There are only two that I can think of.
Three.
Four, five, six, seven.
Yeah. There's doing the deed. There's BJs.
I think anal.
Hand J's.
I can't speak to it because I've never engaged in it, but I think maybe... No, see, I can't answer that honestly.
I can't think of anything. I don't do anal either.
I think they're all great.
Me too.
I would say none.
All right, let's see what America says.
None are overrated.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Let's see what the survey of gay men said.
I do not believe this.
What?
Number one answer with 47%, hand J's.
Oh, B. Yes. No. No, disagreed.
As a matter of fact, it says, and here are the quotes, hand J's got thumbs down. It's the lamest sex act in the world, says James, age 27.
Uh-uh.
What is this?
No way.
Seventh grade, says Adam, age 22. Because we can do it ourselves as often as we like.
Not
We're better at it than women. Mm. Oh, nothing beats a hand, Jay.
I agree.
Nothing beats it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to do anything.
Right.
Except maybe get her to take her shirt off.
That's it. No, that's bogus. That's totally bogus.
If you get a shirt off and you get a hand J, you're in. Number two, overrated sex act, sex with a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, sex in the shower.
I agree with that.
Sex on the first date.
I agree. Sex in the shower. Mm-hmm. Water takes away from my enjoyment.
Yeah.
So I'm going to agree with the sex in the shower.
Let me see.
Not sex in the hot tub, though.
Visually, what is the most erotic way that she can turn you on that she has not tried?
Ooh.
Well, not tried. I mean,
visually. That she may not have tried. See,
this is a horrible... I want to know the author, and I want to find the author. I want him dead. I want his family dead. Stupid-ass questions.
Mike, it's the hot issue. Yeah. There is no author.
I would say, I mean, I've had this try, but I like it when a woman touches herself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like.
I love it. We just cut up our American Express card. Right in front of me.
Visually, that would turn you on.
I like it. I like it when she plays with her tees.
I like when she plays down there.
Buzz?
Strip tees. Something I don't see often enough, I think.
All right. Let me see. Number one answer? Have her bait in front of me.
Yeah.
So that would be Mike's answer.
Yeah. Amen.
Number two? Arch her back while she's riding.
Okay.
Number three?
Whatever.
Look at me in the eye while she gives me oral.
That's strong.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know. I could do without that.
Really? I think that's overrated, too, though. I don't know.
I mean, sometimes I don't want to say it.
Sometimes.
You know, sometimes it's like...
You don't like seeing that down there?
Well, no. It's just, you look and you go, you're in another world, and you look and, you know, it's like... There she is with the big puppy dog eyes. She's looking at you and you go, Oh, wait a minute. Oh, hi, honey.
I guess how she's looking at you, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I would rather not. Anyway, that's the end.
No, I do like that, though. Yeah, I really do.
That is, I think that's the end of the quiz, but hold on. Well, there's one more part. 30 things to say to drive a man wild.
Okay, so far this survey is very bad.
30 things to say to drive a man wild.
I'm buying.
It's my birthday. Can I have a hug? Let me read you the preamble to this. There are a number of things you can say to a man to get him panting like a hound in hot pursuit. But to be a woman worth remembering, you need to be creative in your come-ons. Cosmos come up with a list of lust-inspiring lines to commit to memory so the next time you want to approach a sexy stranger or give your honey a me-so-horny hint, use one of these phrases.
All right.
So
these are basically pickup lines for women.
Hey, it's my birthday. Can I have a hug? Is my shirt too see-through? Working out is my second favorite way to work up a sweat. Girl says that to me. I say, how you doing, whore?
This little girl had thunder.
She was a whore. How you doing, whore? I think we need to hurry up and pay the bill, because I want to do things to you that an innocent busboy should never see.
Man, here we go. We have firmly delved into the land of magazine BS.
Cosmo BS.
Cosmo BS. This is just like, they ran out of ideas.
Yep. Be honest. Do you think these shoes would look better without my clothes on? Frida said that to me, I'd slap her. Oh, I really would. I just
don't make sense.
No. My nails are wet. Could you grab my keys out of my pocket for me?
Well, then there you go.
I don't know.
Don't mind that one. Okay.
It's full body massage Friday for anyone named. Insert his name here.
That's like a nerdy line.
Things would never happen.
Can you settle the debate? My friend says boxers, but I think you go commando. You know, do you wear underpants? You'd want to lose this napkin. It has my number on it. That's off,
really.
We have whipped cream, but no ice cream. What can we put it on? Can you picture your wife and your girlfriend saying this to you?
No.
Leaving so soon? Too bad. I was just about to hit on you. That's not bad.
Well, that would stop me at the door.
Yeah,
that'll work.
Would you rub my shoulders? I'm so sore from my gymnastics class. I'll bet you $10 you can't take off my bra with one hand. Again, if I hear that, you know what I think?
She was a whore.
Whore.
Right.
I mean, it's too much.
It's too out there.
It's over the top, and
it's too much.
Forced would be the word.
Yeah.
Forced. But that one, what's that one about hit on you?
Are you leaving already? Too bad. I was just about to hit on you.
Right. And then, of course, you turn around, you walk back, and then they start laughing.
Honey, I dropped the soap. Can you come in here and help me find it? Right, you know what that leads to.
Yes.
Anal.
Ass play. Ass play. Ass play.
Ass play.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hey, I don't want to point out the obvious here, but this is like softcore porn lines.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you find it in a bad porno movie.
Yeah, like the stuff you see in, like, Blockbuster.
Like Cinemax.
Right. Cinemax, right. Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I'm naked and you have 20 minutes to get to my place before I start putting my clothes back on.
This guy is so right on with that. This is probably where they got a lot of that. It's those bad movies.
Can you remove your pants? It's a matter of national security.
Scott and John.
These are nerds.
These are the top 30, of course.
Right.
Why
right.
talk when there are so many other fun ways to use our mouths? Some girl says that to me. I check her for herpes. Really. I say, speaking of mouths, open up and let me see what you got doing in there.
Yeah. Let's take a trip to the clinic.
I always sleep naked. Do you?
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, out of the blue would be, out of the blue would be okay.
Oh, okay.
Could you smell my neck and tell me what
you're in different places?
I guess so.
Could you smell my neck and tell me what you... It looks like you're there a lot. We never hear that. That's why it happens so much. You know what we get? Which McDonald's do you go to?
Well, that could work.
Which Burger King is your favorite?
Which do you like thin or thick crust?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what do you like? Domino's or Papa John's? Jesus Christ. If you can guess the dirty thing I'm thinking about you, I promise to try it with you when we get home.
Yeah. See, that we get home. So this is for, couples that are, it's not for strangers.
I'd love to show you my tattoo, but I'd get arrested if I did it in public.
Cheesy.
I've had a really tough day, and I need to relieve some tension. Any ideas?
Yeah. Hey, bartender?
Want to sample my new lip gloss? Again, a woman comes up and says that to you. Like, you turn around and you... Here's another one, Mike, that we'll never hear.
All right.
Excuse me. Aren't you...
Come on, it's starting
good, huh?
Hold on. Excuse me.
I can't wait to hear this one.
Maybe I'm building it up too much. We'll
never hear it. That's good.
Excuse me. Aren't you that model?
Aren't you that model?
We got that far.
All right. Excuse me, aren't you that model from the underwear ads? You would never...
Why, yes, I am.
Thank you.
Here's my cell. Call your roommate to say you won't be coming home tonight.
Wouldn't that be nice to hear? That's, this top 30 business.
Here's another one.
I mean,
My friends and I took a poll, and you were voted sexiest guy in the bar. It's another one we're never going to hear.
No, not a chance.
Can I use some of your sunscreen? I always get burned along my bikini line.
So that's a beach pickup line.
And that's whorish.
Right.
This shirt is itchy. I wish I could take it off right now.
Why is it itchy? Head lice.
Good question.
Bingo.
Head lice.
And finally, hi. I'm conducting a sex survey for Cosmo, and I was hoping you would let me take some measurements.
What a jive is that?
Very. Extremely.
All I have to say about that whole survey is, come on now.
Come on now. Mike O'Mara, attorney of law. Hey, Lisa.
Oh, God. Come on now.
They forgot to pick up line number 31. Hi, I produced the Don and Mike show.
Did you want me to submit that?
No, I want you to read some of those. Let me hear what it sounds like when a woman.
Hey, now put some music in back of it. And Lisa,
I got you.
Do it in your sexiest voice so we get. There we go.
Sexiest or bimboiest?
Yeah. Whatever way you think these lines should be read.
Right.
She's thrusting her chest out.
Is my shirt too see-through?
See, even when you hear a woman deliver, it becomes less credible.
All right, give me another one.
My nails are wet. Can you grab the keys out of my back pocket?
Wow. See what you got to see her do it, though.
Just put a whole new spin on
this.
I wish this was...
You got to see Lisa do it with a body saw.
I really do wish this was television.
All right, what else? You got another one there? Just pick anyone at random.
Why talk when there are so many other fun ways to use our mouths?
Didn't help.
You know that there is a segment of the audience right now that is thanking you for having Lisa read
Beach Club. Beach Club time. Get your towels out.
Right.
Okay, you got another one?
My friends and I took a poll, and you were voted the sexiest guy in the studio.
Did you hear Buzz? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Buzz. Where's the workout one? Read that one.
Like number 27. Which one?
This is my second favorite way, or?
No, the one where, like, do you work out or something like that?
I've seen you at the gym, or?
Right. The one that really made us laugh.
The one that made me laugh really was the underwear ad.
I mistook you for an underwear model.
What gym do you go to? Looks like you're there a lot.
Thank you.
And the underwear one is in the third column, all the way on the left, like number 25 or 26.
Excuse me, are you that model from the underwear ad?
Why, yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Reps big and tall.
This is the last one. This shirt is itchy. I wish I could take it off right now.
Bravo, Lisa.
You're fantastic, bimbo.
That was fantastic.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Great bimbo.
Too funny. And you know we're going to get the ghost. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for having her read those lines.
She's a good producer, but she's a better bimbo.
Oh, that's funny.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I think Lisa ought to go out to a bar this weekend with a tape machine and try it out and see what kind of reaction she gets.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you, genius.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
No problem. And how does she deal when the guy goes, hey,
how dare you let him slide by using the phrase tape machine?
Tape machine.
I think Lisa should go out by the freezer box with her tape machine.
All right, hold on. We have to break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know something, Archie? Just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer.
I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four eyes. A guy who is a fag is a queer.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
All right.
They're ready to believe.
Correct.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people.
The most excellent program, The Don and Mike Show.
All right, I don't know if you're going to have this on the news today or not, Buzz, but I love hearing this.
What?
The annoying guy in the Dell commercials.
Yes. Hey, dude, you could have gotten a Dell.
He's in trouble. SAG, the Screen Actors Guild,
right,
is mad at him because he started making those commercials.
Yeah.
During the SAG strike in the year 2000.
A strike buster.
But still, Mike, it's a reason to hate the guy.
I know.
Besides the fact that he's just so goddamn annoying in those Dell commercials.
Dude, you're getting a Dell, and now they're making him into a superstar, you know, because he's everybody's favorite idiot.
Well, no, and he's everybody's favorite scab.
Yeah, he's a scab.
He's a scab. Mm-hmm. And from our sleaze bucket file,
yes.
I think Tom Gavin alluded to this earlier on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who ran the website DonandMikeFans.com for
right.
a while
uh-huh.
was a guy that we had tons of problems with.
Oh, lots of problems. The guy had a weird, weird agenda.
And the guy was such an F-ball that at the very end, when things were going bad, and we were never officially associated with him or any other website.
Yeah, he would put people on there and put things on there that we didn't want anything to do with, and just not a very nice guy.
Anyway, at the very end, while we were on vacation back in March, he fabricated a story that I had died of a grape-sized brain tumor.
Yeah.
And took the Washington Post's logo
mm-hmm.
from their online website and fabricated a story and used a writer's name.
Sure, I mean, really, and it really caused quite a stir.
And went to great lengths to really make this look like a troop. A news item.
Yeah, it was picked up in New York. It was picked up nationally.
Which was picked up by the national media that I was dead.
Right.
of a brain tumor. And as it turns out, when my attorney got in touch with the attorney from the Washington Post, who got in touch with the attorney for the writer, the alleged writer of the story.
Right.
And, of course, the Post was pissed off because of copyright infringement.
Sure, that. Sure, absolutely. Course.
You know, the guy had put up on the web, obviously not a parody, I mean, and he had put it up there as news that I was dead with a brain tumor.
Right.
You know, we were on vacation.
That was the first time, man, when we realized, what the hell is wrong with this person?
And, you know, as I mentioned, we were on vacation, and we were getting calls from people saying, right. Oh, my God, you know, is he dead?
Mm-hmm.
And even the station thought
right.
that I was dead because somebody
wow.
came in
mm-hmm.
with a copy of this bogus thing that had been made by this guy,
right.
John Stevens, and his whole deal was we had been arguing with him about the content on this website mm-hmm. that had our names on it, that he was getting revenue from, and we had no say in what was going on this website, and we really didn't like the look of it, the tone of it,
right.
the feel of it. Yet, he was running it, and he's also gone to the Dominion names, and he's bought virtually all of our names,
uh-huh.
and every incarnation you can possibly have for the Don and Mike show, this guy's bought.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the kind of creep that this guy is. He took people who were involved with our show, some of them with limited mental capacities,
mm-hmm.
like Tom, and gave them websites.
Right.
And in turn, by giving them websites, he produced merchandise that he sold, and I'm guessing gave a portion of the proceeds to the people, the hangers-on that are on the show, and I know that he had this scam going with Homo Joe,
right? Tom Gavin,
Tom Gavin, Mr. 40,
right?
And Dennis Murphy. The guy was just bad news. Bad news all the way around.
He used our show as much as anybody could ever use our show, and then would always claim poor mouth when we would call him on making money off of it, saying, hey, I don't really make any money. But nobody ever really saw how much money he did make.
So we finally got pissed off, and one day we came on the air and just said, listen, we really don't want anything to do with this website. Just leave us the frig alone. And that's when he came back with his last shot, which was this fabricated article that I was dead,
right?
Which obviously upset me and my family and you know, the Washington Post mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of other people. Well, that same guy is running for United States Congress.
Oh, my God.
You can go to StevensForCongress.org, and you see a picture of the guy that I'm talking about. The guy
oh my God.
Who's standing in front of the American flag. And if you scroll through, you'll see here's a picture of him and his wife and his two cute children.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how they would feel if I got on the radio and announced that their daddy had died of a brain tumor.
Right.
And then when called on it said, oh, I was just joking.
Yeah.
And do you think that someone like that, well, first off, he doesn't have a chance. He's running against Frank Wolf. There's no way he's going to win.
Was he running on the Republican ticket?
He may be an independent.
Or is he an independent?
Independent. Regardless, the guy's a useless douche.
Yeah, the guy's got problems.
I mean,
the guy's got serious problems.
He's like a mental case. The guy's nuts.
Let me see that picture of the guy.
Take a look, Mike.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, there he is.
He's been president of Dragon Slayer Applications, a database software development firm, since 1999. And then on the last page, which is Stevens for Congress, email vote@StevensForCongress.org. There's a picture of his family. And I'm just wondering how they would feel if I got on a website and used the Washington Post's trademark and made up a story that their daddy had died of a brain tumor, if he would react by laughing it off and say, I'm just kidding. You just can't take a joke.
I'd like to know who's involved with this. besides him, you know, this guy alone. I mean, it's amazing. I wonder if the whole thing is bogus.
Mike, no, it's not. I mean, if you go to the next page, you'll see Meet John, all about him, and it has his endorsements. No, we've not clicked on there. I don't know who's endorsing him.
We have to see who endorses him.
Press release. Buzz, go there, please.
All right.
Go to StevensForCongress.org.
All right.
It's a weird dude. Very weird dude.
I'm telling you, this guy is like Anthony Perkins, like Norman Bates weird.
You know, he gets the little picture taken of him in front of the American flag, the little fake congressional picture.
Yeah.
Let me see the family picture.
And this is the same guy, incidentally, that runs a website for a retarded guy and tries to make money off it.
Can't imagine a guy like that running for Congress.
Man, oh man.
Handsome family. Very handsome family.
Wow.
I would not wish anything bad on any of them, like some douchebag writing a fake article saying that your
nothing,
daddy...
Nothing like any party affiliation or anything on here.
I would hate for those kids to have to read or hear somewhere that the daddy is dead. Oh, and Buzz, don't bother. Joe just handed me a card.
Right.
When you hit the icon that says endorsements...
It doesn't go anywhere.
There are none.
There are none. There you go.
There are none.
Calendar, nothing. Just what? Meet John, works, donate, works, volunteer, works, endorsements, nothing.
What about links?
Links.
Oh, how about donate? Go to donate.
All right, hang on. Links just take you to the Democratic Party and that kind of thing. Let me go to donate now. And, here, you can click on $1,000, $500, $250, $100, $50, or $25, or you can write in your own amount.
Jesus Christ. So he's on the up and up.
Beware. We don't know that. You can have a website. You can have a picture. But especially when you're asking for donations, I mean, the whole thing's a little hinky. I mean, I don't trust this guy.
Bad
news.
We know the kind of guy that he is.
Right. I mean, so who knows whether he's doing this and what his motivations are.
All politicians pretty much are lying scums. We know that.
Right.
But this is a guy who's worse than those guys. Because we know the type of guy that he is.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's a guy who's... Do you know why we can't have the DonAndMikeShow.com? Because he bought it. Do you know why you can't have BuzzBurbank.com? Because he bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why you can't have MikeOmara.com?
Right.
Because he bought it. Do you know why you can't have DonAndMike.com?
Mm-hmm.
Because he bought it.
He bought them all in a very, just obsessive compulsive way.
And then what he did after he bought all of those sites and made a fan site for this show, an alleged fan site, he went to the guys that we have on the show, the regular people,
mm-hmm.
and went to them with these half-assed business deals.
Right.
Like, how do you get a business deal seriously with Tom Gavin? Someone who has an IQ of about 70.
Right.
How do you go to Tom and say, Tom, I want to give you a website, and every time you go on Don and Mike's show, I want you to mention that we're selling T-shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
That say Tom the Monster. And you're telling me that this guy is running for Congress?
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff.
This guy is running for Congress?
Mm-hmm. Gotta find out more about this.
Not to mention the fact, you rat bastard, that you fabricated an article using the name of the Washington Post and the name of a writer, Frank Ahrens, to write that I was dead?
Mm-hmm. What kind of guy? Is that the kind of guy you want? Well, first of all, he doesn't have a snowball's chance.
No, he doesn't.
And I don't see any party affiliation on there, so who knows? Yeah, I think you know what I think his affiliation is? Himself. I don't think this is any organization.
Yeah, he's a Democrat, or she's
Democrat.
And that's what it says on the website. If you
Democrat.
Go further, yeah.
Democrat.
What, the Democratic Party has endorsed his candidacy?
Well, no, he didn't say endorsement. He just said, here's how to contact the Democratic Party.
John Stevens announced campaign on July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
The Stevens for Congress campaign needs your help. We face a well-funded incumbent who has failed to translate his longevity in seniority
and
publicly held position into results. We can do better. Why do the same problems plague us after 22 years of his representation? Blah, blah, blah. We deserve energy, dedication, innovation in Congress. Listen, you know what we deserve? A guy who doesn't go to a retarded guy to make money off T-shirts on the Internet, and a guy who doesn't write a story about me pretending that it was written by the Washington Post, but I'm dead.
Right.
That's what we don't need. John Stevens.
We got to contact the Democratic Party, make sure they know what's going on with this guy.
What else you got there, Robbie? What is this?
That he's the Democratic Party nominee.
Mike, it says on his website, if you go further in, John Stevens kicks off his campaign to represent the 10th Congressional District Monday, July 1st. Stevens, the Democratic Party nominee, will announce his candidacy for U.S. Congress at the Leesburg Courthouse at 12 noon, Monday, July 1st.
Wow. Wow, this is amazing.
Quote, I will set a higher standard of leadership for the 10th District, says Stevens, focusing on the needs of our local communities in times that demand practical solutions to our most difficult problems.
Pretty amazing stuff. I think we you know what? Let me just give everybody a little caveat here, little tiny warning. Just remember, this is all stuff that's on the internet. This is the domain of this guy. He has proven before that he fabricates stuff. I want to find out if all of this stuff is legit. That's what I want to find out before we, you know, because he might be sitting back there now just going, ha, 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 I've done it again. Because it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, if that's the case.
Well, you need to, hey, what could prevent him from putting a picture on there and then putting his little congressional picture and doing this whole thing? I mean, who knows about this guy?
I don't know. I don't know. I just know
elections are coming up in November.
I hate the guy.
Yeah, I do too.
I just hate him.
I hate the guy totally.
I
met the guy. Have you ever met the guy?
Yeah, one time.
Yeah, I met him one time.
Came by the station one time.
Not particularly friendly, nice, just a smarmy,
slicky boy.
Slicky boy guy.
Yeah, real oily, real slippery. Like you could.
Jesus Christ. I mean, if this is what the Democratic Party is putting up against Frank Wolf, like, I'm dumbfounded. Can you find all this stuff out, whether this is legitimate or not?
I'll check into it as far as legitimacy.
Yeah, we should look into it.
But looking at the website, I mean, there are...
Well, the website he can make look like anything.
Hey, Rob,
it's proven true, but
call
I mean,
this number. Here you go.
There's even registered to vote instructions. He's got his political resume on here. Believe it or not, he seems to have one.
Mm-hmm.
Has he held office before?
Call that number.
Yes and no.
We're going to call the number that's given on Stevens for Congress and see how they answer the telephone. And ask if it's the same guy, Rob, who wrote the fake story about me being dead.
Been a member of the Loudoun County Democratic Committee since 94. Ran for Board of Supervisors in 95. Must not have won. Served Neighborhood Civic Association. Member of the Loudoun County Community Criminal Justice Board for more than 2 years.
Three rings, four rings. No answer.
A commissioner of the Industrial Development Authority in Loudoun County.
And an all-around douchebag.
A bachelor's in political science from Hofstra, it says.
Buy that on the net.
Six rings. I'm just counting Rob's fingers. Rob is on the telephone now.
It blows me away, man. It really does.
No answer.
No answer? Mm-hmm. How many rings?
Eight
rings. Not even a machine?
What number are you calling?
The number that's on the bottom of the page?
Yeah.
Ten
rings?
Yeah. I don't think anyone...
Let me redial and just make sure I got the right number.
No answer so far. Because, you know, he is a hoax master, and this would be the ultimate hoax.
On the issue, he's against building new roads. He's for education. And
how does he feel about writing articles about disc jockeys who aren't really dead?
Gee, there's nothing about that here.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Rob. How does he feel about running a website for retarded guys and taking money from them?
I don't see that here either.
For t-shirts.
I'll ask him about that if they answer.
Hello, Rob.
Hi, Mike. Buzz.
Hi, Rob.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Doggy.
Good,
buddy. Very good. Good job.
Excellent. And no answer.
No answer, so we'll find out. We'll research it.
We'll find out. All right. Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you. Bye, Rob.
You should break.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway,
check our sources.
Watch out for that guy.
Democratic.
Okay, watch out for that guy. Glad I went to the other side.
Yeah, I might join you.
Anyway, and also, I don't get it. Okay?
Why?
American Idol. Just want to mention that. I don't get it. Mm. I watch it. I don't get it.
Well, it's about a British guy that you know, is mean to people. That's basically the show.
I like the a-hole guy. Right. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like...
Sorry, dear. You have no
Simon
talent.
Simon can kiss my ass.
Yeah, you have no appreciable talent.
His name is Simon.
My name is Simon. Sit your ass down.
Simon, I like him, but I don't get it, and...
I heard he's running for Congress.
Of the 10 people who are the finalists, they all appear to be capital L losers on the show American Idol.
Any hotties in that group at all? Maybe one or two. Rob pointed to who?
Rob pointed to R.J. Helton, Mike. Who, Rob, you're right. He is dreamy.
Dreamy, but ducky.
No hotties.
And
no,
I like
hotties
Paula
at all.
Abdul.
Yeah, and Paula Abdul and her giant ass. She's one of the judges of the show.
Oh, man.
I don't know why people watch it. I mean, it's on tonight. It's a big hit.
I like Paula Abdul.
I just mentioned it because it's out there. And
hasn't her ass gotten smaller?
No.
No?
Well, I can't say for sure because
she
never
sits.
Because you never see her. She's behind a desk.
Well, there, that should tell you right there.
She's lost use of her legs.
Why don't you just get up and talk to
her? She's a paraplegic?
Yes.
Paraplegic.
Quadra would be if she lost control of her hand.
Thank you.
Use of her hand.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
They can grow up to 3 feet long, walk on their fins, and live on land for several days, devouring other fish and birds and ducks, and they breed like crazy. Now there's possibly even thousands of fish in that pond. Line 4, Larry in Virginia, you're on the air with Drudge.
Matt Drudge, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
You know, I have a theory about these fish that can walk on land. You'll notice they went from New York City over to Maryland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can walk on their own, correct? Do you think it's more than a coincidence that perhaps maybe they walked all the way to Maryland because...
Oh, they hitchhiked down the 95?
They walked down 95 because they can't hear Don and Mike on in New York City anymore.
There he goes. Yeah, classic.
The Don and Mike Show.
It was.
You'll love their D's and B's. Don and Mike.
Here's Nate, the guy from Philly who was feeling luckier.
Ah, very good.
3 hours ago. Nate.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Hi.
I got a bonus for you guys.
Okay, go ahead. Pick away.
Just, I'm a loyal fan of you guys. You guys blow me off like I'm nothing.
Did we take care of your lucky feeling?
No, I'm not feeling too lucky anymore.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
You guys are killing me.
Bye, Nate. That's the guy who called the show.
Said, I'm feeling lucky. I want to play some kind of contest because I woke up feeling lucky today and we hung up on it.
He's hung up on it.
Lucky Nate.
Mike, you should know that we went to the Democratic Party of Virginia, the official website.
Good. We checked it out, huh?
And he's there.
He's their candidate.
He's there.
Wow.
Yes.
If only they knew.
John Stevens for Congress, District 10.
Amazing.
If only they know.
I don't think they put a lot of thought into things.
I guess not.
That's a shame.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, bring him in. Bring in our friend Charlie Stuangs Avalon.
Oh, good.
It's time for an episode of the Charlie Interview. We've done this for a long time. Charlie?
Hello, Don.
Has John Stevens contacted you about having a website?
Yes, he has. He said that if I give him $200, he'll give me all the proceeds from each T-shirt up to $1.
And did you like Mr. Stevens?
No. He seems like he's really mean.
And he seems kind of... Leaky.
He smelled offensive.
Yeah, he's slimy.
I haven't done it yet, but I think it's a pretty good deal. I do.
Here's what we
Great
have.
Great to be back on the show again, Don.
Here's what we have for you today. Yeah. On the Charlie.
Charlie.
Charlie, don't play with
them. You have bras in here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what ladies hold their bees with.
That's right.
They're bazooms.
Charlie, on the Charlie Show today... Joining you is a guy named Foreman Lamb.
Foreman Lamb.
And here's the deal.
All right.
He is making a product called Gross Out Candy.
I love candy, and I like gross candy.
The candy comes in little packages that look like toilets. And
the candy looks like a toilet.
You fill the toilet up with sour candy powder.
Ooh, sour candy powder. I like sour candy. I like sweet tarts.
Now, what you're doing, then you're giving these two little toilet plunger.
I like sweet tarts. Kit Kat, Reese's Pieces.
You're given these toilet plunger shaped lollipops.
What's
that
a toilet plunger?
Charlie, remember when your toilet gets too many poops in it?
Oh, and you put the rubber thing in with the
right,
stick.
That's it.
Okay, so you get
and
some.
And that's what the candy looks like.
Yes. And you put it in the candy
that's
counter.
Funny.
And you make the lollipops. So now.
I like Spree.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And Mentos.
Welcome to the Charlie Show. Now, here's your host, Charlie.
Hello, my name's Charlie Stuang Stabilak.
Grown up voice.
Hello, my name is Charlie Stuang Stabilak, and now we have a man who invented candy on the show, and his name is Foreman Lamb. Hello, Foreman.
Hello.
Hello, my name's Charlie. How are you?
Good, I'm doing good.
I would like to talk about your candy.
Okay.
How good does it taste?
It tastes really good. All the kids love it.
That's good. Why did you come up with the idea to make candy that looks like a toilet?
Well, the candy itself doesn't look like a toilet, but the container of candy looks like a toilet.
You talk funny.
I think it's a CM, yeah? Charlie.
What?
It is funny. Yeah. The kids love it.
The kids love it.
He's a Chinaman.
Are you from China?
I am from China, yes.
Can you say something? Can you say hi, Charlie? Hi, Charlie. How are you in Chinese?
Charlie, 你好吗?
That's great. So how much does your candy cost?
Well, the candy is at a list price of 99 cents retail.
That's pretty good. That's some candy costs over a dollar right now. What color is your candy?
The candy comes, well, the container comes in three different bright colors. Like pink, hot pink and a bright blue.
Will you send me some?
Sure, I will send you some.
Will you send me a whole box of it?
I can do that, too.
What other kind of candies do you like, Foreman?
I'm sorry?
What other kind of candies do you like?
Well, myself?
Yes.
I like gummies. I like sour candies.
I like sour candy, too.
Yeah.
Do you like Spree?
I'm sorry?
Do you like Spree candy?
I can't. I didn't get that.
Do you like Swedish fish?
Fish candy?
Swedish fish.
Oh, no, not really.
I bet you'd like Chinese fish.
Charlie?
Do you like circus peanuts?
Yes.
Do you like Mentos?
Yes.
Do you like Hershey bars?
Not really.
What kind of food do you like?
What kind of food do I like?
Do you like ass play?
What is that?
Do you like ass play?
Charlie?
I didn't get that.
Charlie, we have a call for your guest.
All right. Hi. Hello. You're on the Charlie Stuang Stabilak Show with the man who invented gross candy. That's a tape of Chinese people talk.
Maybe he knows what they're saying.
Do you know what they're saying, Foreman? Do you know what they're saying?
I only heard a couple of... it sounds like Chinese, but I didn't get the whole thing.
You didn't get the whole thing?
他如果是侵犯他的領空就是不對的.
That sounds so funny. I love candy, Foreman.
Me too.
What time is your candy going on sale today?
What time is my candy going on sale today right now?
Right now it's on sale? Can I get it in any store?
Oh, this new item is not shipped yet.
It's not in the stores yet?
No, the new item is not. But
we
have all 50 items is in the stores.
How long would it take you to get me some?
Why are you giving me an address? We'll ship it out today.
Okay, it's 10-800 Main Street.
Hang on.
10-800 Main Street. Fairfax, Virginia.
I didn't get it.
It's 10-800 Main Street. Fairfax, Virginia. 222222.
22222?
No.
22206.
No. 22202? No, I do not.
But ask him again that, Charlie.
Do you have a ponytail?
I do not. I still have hair in the front.
You have hair in the front. What other kind of foods do you like, Mr. Lamb?
I like Chinese food.
I do too. I like chop suey.
That's not...
Do you like Chongqing?
Yeah.
Chongqing like you get in the grocery store. Do you like Chinese noodles?
Yeah, sure.
I have an idea, Mr. Lamb. How about candy Chinese noodles?
Would you sign a release on that?
Hey, Mr. Lamb, you want to hear me talk like a Chinaman?
Go ahead.
Okay. Ah, so, Liddy, candy.
That's good.
Did I do a good job?
I think so.
I like your candy. Why don't you tell us what your candy's called again?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you tell us what your candy's called again?
What is it called?
What is it called? Come on, man. Don't you speak English?
It doesn't help when you speak slow, you know that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what is your candy called?
My candy is called Sour Flush.
Sour Flush, like a toilet.
Get to know Charlie.
Ah, so, Mr. Lamb. Well, it's been really, really nice talking to you. Can you say I love you, Charlie?
I love you.
Can you say I love you, Charlie?
I did.
Say it again.
I love you, Charlie.
I love you, Mr. Lamb, my Chinese friend.
Put him on hold.
Okay, can you go? Can you stay on hold for a second?
Sure, I will.
Okay, and good luck in everything.
Thank you very much, Artie.
Okay. Hey, hold on now.
Hold on a second. Okay. Hold on, please.
All right, let's see now. Mm-hmm. See from Rob Stein how that
la,
went.
La, 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 yeah. La. Rob Stein, that's not your name. It's Spiewak.
Play along, Charlie.
Hi, Lamb.
He's got a bigger head than I do.
It's Rob Stein. How'd you think
Rob
that
Stein.
Yeah, he's a really good host. Yeah.
I am.
Are you going to send the candy? Can you read back the address to me?
Good.
Okay, go ahead.
Very good.
Sour Flush.
Yo, 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 yo.
No, 10-800.
Yo, 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 yo.
Right, fair.
Me, you don't mind, me.
S-T-U-A-N-G-S-T-A-B-A-L-A-C. No, no. S-T-U-A-N-G.
Oh, my God. This can go on.
Just charming. S-T-U-A-N-G-S-T-A-B-A-L-A-C. Stewang Stabilet. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Got it? Well, we look forward to tasting your candy. Send us all your wares.
There you go.
All of your wares, and we look forward to calling you soon.
Don't talk like an Englishman, Rob.
Thank you.
Send us all your wares. You talk like Ben Franklin. Send us all ye old wares. Yo, 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 yo. Can I introduce Cousin Chinese?
Of course you can, Charlie.
In a world where a world. Radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it.
Here he is now, your next congressman for the state of Virginia.
Here he is, Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Chinese Buzz, Charlie.
What is the lead today?
Today, the Washington, D.C. blowgun mystery.
Blowgun. Charlie.
Blowgun mystery.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Charlie, that was very...
professional, Joe.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right. You're goddamn deep.
Thank you.
They can have coitus without bleeding.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Speak for yourself.
Of course, it's time to welcome Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. An unusual crime problem surfaced in the Washington, D.C. area over the weekend.
Can you quit without blood now?
Yes, I can.
Good for
congratulations.
You.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier.
Congratulations.
It was such a hassle the other way.
Yeah, with the seepage.
People started showing up at hospitals over the weekend in the Washington, D.C. area with wounds inflicted, apparently, by the dart of a blowgun.
Now, I saw this on the news last night.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rather amazing and scary phenomenon.
Yes.
That these blow darts, I mean, I thought it was like something like from National Geographic.
Right.
Turns out you can go like to a gun store.
Right.
And buy a big long metal tube.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was always the deal that you just kind of went.
Right.
And you blew. Well, it's got some kind of little thing in there.
Like a little.
Like a rubber band.
Pop gun device.
Or something that shoots these pointed these, like, sticky needle things, says they go 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that some guy is sitting on top of a building in D.C., and he's shooting them at cars, and one of these things comes at, one of these little darts comes at 200 miles an hour, mm-hmm. and hits the guy in the arm, because he's got the window of his car open, and the guy's goddamn lucky that he didn't flip his car
right.
and cause a major accident.
Did you see the piece on Channel 4?
I saw it on Channel 5.
Channel 4, they actually went to a guy that sells them and did a demo, although they wouldn't show his face. Mm-hmm. And it was penetrating targets the way, like, bow and arrow bolts
yeah.
or bolts out of cross guns and arrows out of bow and arrows do. They're incredibly powerful, and they're so tiny, they require less power because they're so sharp. It's like a needle. And it's just, it's scary stuff.
Which isn't good. Several people got hit in the back along New York Avenue with a 6-inch-long razor-sharp projectiles.
Oh, I only have one thing to say about that.
Uh-huh. What was that, Counselor?
Come on now.
Yeah. At least three people needed surgery to remove the darts. That's how deeply they were embedded, based on what Rob just said. None of the darts carried any chemicals or biological agents, thank goodness. Police are looking for two teenagers in a white Cadillac with tinted windows.
Good luck.
And now, they say the weapon may actually be a nail gun. And now we're hearing that on Saturday, the
Good
day
luck.
Before these attacks in Washington, that three people got hit in PG County, including one woman who got it in the bottom.
Winner!
Has anybody checked the engineer's room?
No. Winner!
To see if he's got it?
I'm very sorry, but you've lost.
Yeah. Good luck.
Smooth's blowgun.
Good luck.
Welcome to Smooth's blowgun.
Winner!
The face they wouldn't show on.
Winner! Winner! Winner!
Philadelphia NBA star Allen Iverson is expected to be back on the street this evening. He and his uncle turned themselves in very early this morning to face charges. They'd burst into an apartment with an illegal gun and threatened two people. They'd gone looking for Iverson's newlywed bride after the couple had a fight. Iverson's fans were waiting outside the police station.
She was naked. I like pointing that out.
That's your favorite part of the story.
She was naked when he kicked her out of the house.
Yeah, get out, but I don't have any clothes. Just get out. Iverson fans were waiting outside the police station today while the player was booked on assault and other charges. Some kids outside the police station set up a lemonade stand with the beverage going for 76 cents a cup. Ain't that cute?
Oh, come on now.
Now listen, you get out of my house. You get out of my house right now. I was going to take... Oh, let me take that damn dress off you. Get out of my house.
Come on now.
An Arabic newspaper...
Hello there.
An Arabic newspaper says Bin Laden is...
Al Iverson's here. Get out of my house, woman.
Come on now.
An Arabic newspaper says Bin Laden is alive, but there's still some question about whether he's well. The London-based paper says the terrorist leader was wounded during the U.S. bombing of the Tora Bora region of Afghanistan back in December.
Come on.
It says Bin Laden was wounded. You sound like Mike now.
Come on.
Come on now.
It says Bin Laden was wounded in the shoulder and had surgery to remove some shrapnel. There have also been videos that show Bin Laden looking tired and pounds lighter. The paper refuses.
How much lighter can he get?
Exactly. The paper refuses to say where Bin Laden is in the interest of what it calls security.
You know, I really hate to be serious on the show, really dead serious, no pun intended.
Right.
But I guess it was maybe last week that I read on the front page of the New York Times that the United States is planning to invade Iraq. We're going to take out...
There's been a lot of talk about
Saddam.
Right.
That we're not making any bones about it. We're saying we're going to attack Iraq.
Right.
And I didn't mean to be funny like that.
Yeah.
And the response from America has been, all right, whatever.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, come on now.
I mean, we're about to get into a war that we're announcing in the newspaper.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, wasn't it just weeks ago that we had the revelation that Congress had approved the covert mission
yes.
to assassinate Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
Nice to read that in the newspaper since it's a covert mission.
Now,
don't tell anyone.
Now, here's where I'm getting with all of this.
Uh-huh.
We've got this thing going against Osama.
Right.
And we can't find him, but we keep getting these reports that he's skinny and
right.
he's emaciated. Mm-hmm. And now it's in the newspaper that we are going to go to war with Iraq. We're going to invade Iraq. It's just a matter of time,
right.
but we're going to do it. All of this while the economy continues to nosedive.
Yeah, go in the tank.
I'm certainly not saying that what happened on 9/11 was in any way orchestrated, you know,
no.
God forbid.
No.
But doesn't it seem with the economy going in the toilet, And the fact that this war on terrorism really hasn't caught on with most Americans since nothing else has happened.
Right.
That maybe if we go to war with Iraq, that it's almost like it'll make people feel good again. It'll make us excited, make us want to support America, make us right. want to rally the stock market.
Re-elect the president.
Well... What the movie Wag the Dog?
Yeah, right. I know what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay. I mean...
I think you're smart to always look at everything with mm-hmm. a cynical eye, because it's you never know...
Just the war on Iraq.
Yeah.
Yep. That made me think that when I thought, Jesus, now, if we were really going to war with Iraq, why do we announce it in the newspaper? And then the American people, for the most part, myself included, are so stupid that we read it, and we immediately just turn to the next page.
Mm-hmm.
We go, we're going to war with Iraq.
Yeah,
all right, well, big deal. Then Bush goes on television and announces that he's going to do everything he can to weed out all these bad guys mm-hmm. in the stock market. And while he's on television, while he's on the split screen, on the other side, they show the Dow going down 400 points.
Right.
While he's on television, my thought is that they get in a giant meeting somewhere, and someone says to Bush, Jesus Christ, you're in a mess. You can't find Osama. You're losing the American public's conscious thought about terrorism because right. nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Stock market is going down the toilet while you're on television is going down 400 points. Have you thought about Iraq? Have you thought about finishing the job your dad couldn't do?
How about a war, Mr. President?
Have you thought about it?
I sure as hell hope it's not done that way.
Scary.
I hope that's not the motivation.
I don't know.
But, you know, you got to think about the world community, too, when we do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a delicate little balancing act. When we went in the first time in Desert Storm, you know, I mean, I'm one of those people that believes in that coalition building stuff, too.
Right.
You know, where you got
to,
you know.
You have to have that.
We could be sitting out on our own little island there, and I don't know whether that's a good place to be at this time.
And also, I find it amazing that even a dumb guy like me can read the newspaper and see that we're going to go to war to Iraq with Iraq, that we're announcing it,
mm-hmm.
and no one cares, myself included.
Well, it's stupid, too. I mean, to announce anything. I mean, there was a day when all these type of things wouldn't, the American people wouldn't know they were happening until after they happened.
Right.
Anyway, which really, I mean, the element of surprise, of course.
Mm-hmm. Those are my deep thoughts. I'm sorry.
But really, seriously, the only thing I would tell the military is...
What would you tell them?
Come on now.
And I'm sorry to burden you with such deep thoughts.
No, good thoughts, though.
I will continue to limit my thoughts to
Jack
such...
Jack Handy Geronimo.
I will continue to limit my thoughts to throwing cans out car windows.
Absolutely.
And arguing with my son about the Xbox.
But you and I are prepared to serve.
Serve where? You know where we're serving?
Yeah.
1050 Chum. You know where that is?
Where's that?
Toronto. Toronto, Canada.
Don't worry, we're past the age where they call us. That's when you know you're old, too. Yeah.
Hey, aren't you the underwear model? What was that?
That's ridiculous. Underwear model ad?
That's us being in the Army or the Marines
right.
to save America is about as unbelievable as us hearing that come online about being underwear model ads.
We make Private Pyle look like look like a physical specimen.
We need you two in the USO.
Hey, Rob,
that's where
right.
you can do some good.
Right. I know you want to join us for that, Rob. Yeah.
There you go. Buzz, hold on.
We'll carry your golf club.
We do that for sure.
We got a break.
Come on,
right. And we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
God created them because he was disappointed in monkeys.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Facts. Read your Bible. Here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
There's two words you never hear together.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz and Bible.
Absolutely. He doesn't like the Bible.
No, that's not true.
Oh, that is true.
Here it is.
In sports, Buffalo Bills.
You goddamn atheist.
No, I'm not an atheist.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
He doesn't like that.
You are. No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Not. Not times infinity.
Who are you?
In sport.
I'm Noam Peterson.
Oh, you don't have the...
Well, no, I know.
Okay. You're not going to do it on the air?
Not a bit.
Okay.
Not one little bit.
We're doing... Listen, let me just
say... that's your dream come true.
Let me just say... We're getting a real good show here during the commercials.
I'll take a powder after that.
Good show.
Absolutely.
Mike's doing some humor that Rob and I enjoy.
Yes, ah, there you are. Every now and then, more and more I get sucked in.
Yes. Can't have that effect.
Can't help it.
Buffalo Bills wide receiver Charlie Rogers has been charged with punching a cop at a New Jersey bar. Police say he had to be subdued with pepper spray and that he spat upon two officers at the station house. He's now out on $150,000 bail. And finally, in Clearwater, Florida, they've arrested a man for flashing, exposing himself, and often pleasuring himself in front of strangers in public. They knew he was a repeat offender. The police got calls from schools and nursing homes. Office buildings and stores, city parks, and private homes. They'd been looking for this guy for some time, but it wasn't until they found him that they realized how much of a repeat offender he really is.
He's a repeat offender.
And 49-year-old Frank Lugo admits he's exposed himself 3 to 5 times a week for the last 8 years.
Oh, God.
Frank is married with a teenage son, quoting his boss, "Here at work, he was a model citizen."
Oh, my God.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Buzz.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Read the Bible.
No! That's it. We got to go. We've got to go to a meeting.
Yay!
All right, that's it. We will see you tomorrow with a new episode. A good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. No.
No, come on.
No.
All right.
All right.
You.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. Toodaloo.
Ask. Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.